thought it was safe to turn on your radio.
Something fresh and exciting. Somebody with a sock personality that'll sweep people right off their feet.
Where is he? What is he up to? What other terrors can he unleash at will?
Starring your genial host, renowned writer, art collector, and teller of strange tales.
What fiendish power did he possess? Where did he come from? Who is this man?
It's the Shannon Burke Show on the Florida Man Radio Network for a Friday. Well, usually leave that one. Talk radio the way our founders intended. We are live. I'll give you one guess. That's right. Leesburg Bike Fest. America, where you can now buy blue jeans with the pee stains already on them. Day 1197. He put the Eric in America. Say hello to EZ.
What's up?
Good afternoon. Putting the heat in Heather.
Hey, guys.
Double H is back at headquarters. We'll hear from her, and Heather has answers later in this hour. If you're on Main Street in Leesburg, we're towards the end in front of the Blue Island Sportswear place across from the McCracken Irish Pub. You can't miss us. Stop by and say hello. Dark History Hour 3, as usual, after that, right?
Yeah. No, before that.
Before that. Our buddy Michael Breen from 911 Biker Law, he's out here, you know, dragging for some business. He'll be out to join us. Movie Man Mike, in the final hour of the program, we'll get to your remarks as well. Leesburg Bike Fest is kicking. Tonight is Low Cash is the headliner. They start at 9:30. Lummy will be out here doing announcements as well. The other bands today at the Progressive Budweiser stage, Harrison Davis, Kendall Tucker, Sean Holcomb. He's good. Low Cash is the headliner. Tomorrow night, Sugar Ray is headlining. It's going to be loud out here. We're all right, good. Howard Stern interviewed Joe Biden this morning. I've got some clips from it, but I think what this does, it really does cement Howard as mainstream media, don't you think?
Yeah, is he? He looks like he's trying to transition to like Larry King now. That was kind of the softball-esque interview that he threw out there.
Oh my God, it was the most softball. Yeah. I mean, the president told some lies, and Stern didn't call him out. I think, you know, I've always seen Howard Stern as a kind of an outlier. Daredevil radio guy would take any chance at any time. Never known for softballing anybody, especially of a sitting president. But boy, did he! I mean, I guess he softballed Hillary once, didn't he?
Yeah, but this was like groveling almost.
I've got some of the audio. It's some of it's painful to listen to. There we go.
Lost my family.
Hold on. Here's the lie told.
When I met Jill, I lost my family. I got put in that 10 most eligible bachelor's list.
Because you were a United States senator, you were a catch.
And,
yeah.
And so, yeah. And a lot of lovely women, but women would send very salacious pictures, and I'd just give them to the Secret Service. I thought somebody would think I was. And
what the hell is he talking about?
Apparently, he was just so hot that horny women were throwing pictures at him at all times. I mean, what year did he lose his wife? The 80s?
Late 70s, 80s, yeah.
I mean, so are we talking that there was a lot of women that were like, oh, Senator Biden, here's a Polaroid, a picture that I got? Well,
yeah, I see this is a picture of my breasts I took, Senator Biden. Maybe if you're in the market and I know you don't have a wife any longer, you might want to give me a call. I've written my number on the back.
Except the problem being that senators don't have Secret Service agents, so who was he handing those pictures off to?
Oh, probably an aide or something.
Put that in the file and all the other hotties.
He's going to do something about Roe v. Wade.
Well, it's a really extremely conservative court, maybe the most conservative court in modern history. And You know, one of the things that when they struck down Roe v. Wade, saying that it was not constitutionally, federal constitutionally guaranteed, it was a state issue. States could make those judgments. I think they don't, and one of the justices, Clarence Thomas, said...
Not old Howard Stern wouldn't have put up with this BS.
No,
old Howard Stern said, what are you... come on, speak up.
What are you mumbling about, old man?
Yeah, you old fart. What the hell are you talking about, Pops?
That women don't have a choice. They can, in fact, change it, if they, in effect, at a state level. Like, but we'll see if they have any power. Well, they ain't seen nothing yet. You're going to see what will happen. If I'm elected president again in the second term, I'm going to we're going to be able to overrule them, and not overrule. We're going to be able to make Roe v. Wade the law of the land again, based on every state in the union.
Here he is. Here he is talking about the bloodbath lie that if Trump doesn't win, he's going to go killing people all over the place.
I can't imagine you're going to lose, but
well, look, he's promised if he doesn't win, there's going to be a bloodbath.
Can you imagine?
Like that. Here's what bothers me most.
Can you imagine? Why is he calling it out on that? He wasn't talking. He was talking about a bloodbath in the automobile industry.
Yeah, because nobody ever calls him out about it.
We have a fundamentally different value set. For example, when he was in Paris, he wouldn't go to that gravesite.
This is a lie.
He said they're losers, these men and women who were killed in battle defending America. Losers, and I just, I'm glad I wasn't there, because I think I would have. My son's in one of those graves. One of the graves back here, not there.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, he caught himself that time.
The idea that they're losers and suckers.
And McCain's a loser. He said McCain's a loser.
Well, McCain's a loser.
When
John McCain...
First of all, the whole Paris thing has been debunked several times by people that were there. By John Bolton, who hates Trump.
Yeah.
Got out of prison and was released. He came and worked for me. He was a Senate liaison officer. We traveled over 100,000 miles together. And he was like an assistant, because he worked for the... He was
a fabulous man. I got to meet him before he died.
No, he was a straight-up guy, man.
Yeah.
Tough as hell.
Yeah, now Stern's they're all big fans of Republicans.
Yeah, big John McCain fan.
This is a Stern listing off some of President Biden's accomplishments and thanking him for his compassion.
I want to thank you for doing this today. I want to thank you for your compassion. You know, when I think of the reason I'm so excited to talk to you is because I wanted to understand the tragedy in your life and how you dealt with it. And you're the kind of leader I love, because we're lucky to have you in the Oval Office and serving as the father of the...
What a suck up. That's an absolute 100% suck up.
Yeah, because the old Stern would have been like, all right, Mr. President, now we're going to throw hot dogs at your ass crack to give this girl some free...
Do you mind pulling your pants down so we can get some bologna on it over there?
Country, because if you're a good father to your family, which you are...
He's a good father. The guy took showers with his teenage daughter, and Stern thinks he's a good father. His son was a crack addict with whores all over the place.
No, you'd be a good father to the country, and I want to thank you.
Does that mean that he'll take a shower with us? He's going to be a good father of the country. He's going to shower with America now?
For providing a calming influence and order.
Are you kidding me? Calm? I don't think Americans have been so agitated in their lives.
Organized administration, post-COVID, getting that vaccine out.
Wait a second. He didn't get the vaccine out.
No, he didn't.
I remember what the world was like at that point, getting NATO, getting us to feel comfortable, standing up to Putin. I could read your greatest hits, but I'm being given the high sign. But
he could read off the miles of accomplishment. But you know, the Secret Service says, "Let's go."
Yeah. Also, did he say getting us into NATO? Like we haven't been there.
You could say blank vote Joe Biden, but you know, thank you, people.
The incredible large growth in the jobs.
All of it is a lie.
Yeah,
every single bit of it, and Stern's right along there with it, man.
Employment rate down. I don't know what people are looking for in a president, or maybe it's that people don't feel like they're getting enough or something. I don't know what it is, but I'll give you your greatest hits.
The lowest uninsured rate in history. 4 out of 5 Americans are covered for less than $10 a month.
Is that what you pay for?
No.
4 out of 5 Americans get full coverage for $10 a month?
Yeah.
Where does that happen?
$500 a month.
Knocking off a few ISIS leaders, cutting the emissions in half. I mean, you've always been an environmentalist. Even the marijuana reform laws, enough sitting there fighting that battle. Respect for...
What marijuana reform laws?
None. And what ISIS leaders has he knocked off either?
I don't know.
He hasn't.
It was Trump that got Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi and Soleimani.
What the hell is with people with this gay stuff? Who cares if someone's gay? I mean, how is it affecting anybody? People in love, it's good, right?
He does say that he is going to debate President Trump, which is the first time we've heard that.
I don't know if you're going to debate your opponent.
I am somewhere. I don't know when. I'm happy to debate him. I got put in that 10 most eligible bachelor's list.
Because you were a United States Senator, you were a catch.
Well, okay, so do we now know that he's agreed to debate him?
Because I bet you KJP today will come out and say, oh, no, we've not decided on any dates for debates, or we haven't agreed to anything.
I mean, it was more than a softball. I mean, Stern had his big-ass nose up his ass for that interview. Not a single tough question. Not a mention of the immigration.
Not one bit.
And if you remember Old Stern took issue with illegal aliens. He was always cracking jokes about illegals.
Yeah.
I remember he had one guy on his show, and he said, what's your name? He said, Carlo. He said, what? Carload. Yeah, that's funny, because that's the way I always see you guys, by the carload. a absolute softball. I don't, it's... he is now absolute mainstream. He's just like a Joe Scarborough.
Yeah.
A Joe Scarborough would, they probably would have waxed his ass, just like
Stern
did.
Oh, yeah, down.
You are the greatest president ever in the history of the presidents. There you go. What happened to Stern's audience? Have they changed as well?
No, because I bet you a lot of them weren't interested in that at all.
Well, speaking of illegal aliens... This has got to be one of the greatest jobs in America. If you worked at the Border Patrol, Texas National Guard soldiers. Remember the train? They call it the Beast. It's a big old train it looks like they're running through India. You know, these trains. They're just illegals packed on it. They get right through across the border there. They've come up with a plan. I wish they put an ad in the paper for this.
Sign up sheet for this.
Yeah, they have given Texas National Guard soldiers non-lethal pepper ball ammo and super powerful paintball guns to pick these illegals off the train with pepper balls as they... more troops are being called in as reinforcements for this operation. They're allowed to use as much of this pepper ball ammo on the illegals as... I can't believe there's not people absolutely freaking...
Now that they've heard it, they're on their way.
It's dangerous. You're trying to get them to fall off the train.
And I'm like, I'm trying to get high score.
Some intended to go straight through the Rio Grande, attempt to cross... they said no one is supposed to cross there outside the designated points of entry. That's illegal and dangerous. Migrants seeking asylum are supposed to wait and get an appointment, wait for their personal attaché to walk them over and give them their money and their phone and all that good stuff. But the death train, or the beast, as they call it, La Bestia, they say, it's very risky. The risk of death and loss of limbs associated with it. People cling to the sides of it or up the roof, and now we're going to pick them off with paintball guns. Pepper spray paintball guns. I mean, even if you're holding on for dear life and you get...
Oh, you're going down.
You get waylaid with a couple of those. I mean, can you hold on? You're just burning for miles.
It's going to suck because not only are they like paintballs, they're like pepper spray paintballs.
So. Yeah. Does pepper spray burn your skin or just...
It can, yeah.
Well...
Irritates all soft tissues.
They have pepper ball guns and quote, other tools in order to break up large groups that are storming the area. God, that is just got to be a hell of a job. If you're in the Texas National Guard, you're clamoring for this job.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think there's a couple of our listeners that are probably heading on to Texas right now. Signing up.
Yeah. Hey, where's the pepper ball gun patrol? I'm going to be on that deal. I brought my own, by the way. I just need more ammo.
I got this one a little souped up, too.
Yeah. You know these are jacked up power-wise.
It's got a turbo on it.
Yeah. Normally, it's 50 PSI. I've jacked this in up to 250 PSI.
You guys cool with me freezing them first?
Speaking of Mexico, the head of Mexico's detective service has acknowledged that they are now, I don't know, they sound like they're proud of this. He says, we are now the champion of fentanyl production. Lopez Obrador is not happy. He hotly denied that in the past, that any fentanyl is produced in Mexico, saying that Mexican cartels only press it into pills or add finishing touches to it. But Felipe de Jesus Gallo, the head of the criminal investigation agency, said that since the 90s, Mexico has been the champion of methamphetamine production and now fentanyl. This sounds like an accepted speech.
He's just basically saying we're really good at something.
They say China subsidizes the production to fuel the crisis here in the United States. Methamphetamine production has become industrialized. We now expect to see drug laboratories not just in the mountains of Sinaloa and Sonora, but in Hidalgo and Puebla and Jalisco. You know, Mexicans export their meth all the way to, like, Hong Kong.
Do a little trading back and forth in fentanyl supplies for their meth?
Probably. The champion. We are the champions. We all know how embarrassing the pee stain is on your trousers.
Ask Tony Romo.
Yep, Tony Romo. What a... very bad time in Cowboys history when he appeared back from a break on television, standing there next to Al Michaels with a pee stain in his khakis.
What he should know better. Have a pee napkin when he goes in there.
Absolutely. Well, there's a company called Jordan Luca. They make jeans, fancy pants jeans. It's a British Italian menswear brand. And these feature a dark stain in the groin area of the pants, which makes it look like the dude, whoever wear them, peed themselves. I mean, look at this. Look at that.
Oh, yeah. I saw that.
Okay, would you wear these jeans? Hell no. I'll stay in the bathroom for 30 minutes if I had to get that pee stain dried up. They don't have the blow dryer. I'm thinking friction heat will get it, and I'm getting with the paper towels. Like,
standing there with your pants off underneath the heater.
Just greeting people. They come in, hey, sorry, that pee stain.
Yeah,
you know
pee stain, it happens.
Yeah, be careful. If they have a hand dryer, look at this. This is terrible. Why would you buy jeans?
It's fashion, high fashion.
I don't know. I'm going to tweet a picture of it. Follow me at The Burke Show. I don't know what else they're trying to say, the designers of these pants.
What's it, Billy Madison? You're not cool if you don't pee your pants.
What if I just faked it and put some water in my pants? Be like, hey, man, did you get those are pee pants?
Mm-hmm, yeah, $1,000.
Pee stain pants.
Yeah.
They're actually, yeah, they're, that's what about what they call. What they cost? Hold on here. They run you right now. They're on sale, which is the good news. For $608, that's about $200 off the retail price. And they have been dubbed pee stained denim. No more people are saying. Here are some of the comments. No more having to wait for the bathroom. You can just pee yourself, and say it's just the design. I mean,
I don't get it. I don't understand high fashion. I can't help it. I wear cargo shorts a lot, so.
I mean, this is what's next?
The Biden Duke stain ones.
Yeah, I mean that's the only way to go.
I mean, well, the problem was is they went a little too overboard with the stains, because you could have gone with the premature ejaculator version first.
Just a little bitty dot?
Just a little bitty dot, and then you go to the pee stain version.
That's the dribble version. Yeah. You know, the old man dribble pants. You just got a couple of little, just a little dribble. I'm going to tweet out this this picture. You got to see it. I don't know. There we go. Enjoy the pee stain pants. Follow me at The Burke Show. I also like, by the way, we are live at Leesburg Bike Fest, if you haven't figured that out yet. When the sound system on the motorcycle now has become really important to a lot of people. I have one on my bike. I'm listening to talk radio normally 90% of the time. And it's not a huge, powerful, but you get sound systems on these bikes. You don't even hear your motorcycle anymore.
Yeah, no.
That blows me away.
Hearing whatever song they're listening to.
Right, and when you see some big old bearded, overweight dude with a cut-off sleeves, tattooed, hairy back and arms, he's got goggles on, and you're hearing Michael Jackson blaring out of it, or Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Have you heard any T-Swift yet?
No. What was that?
That's a good question.
Anyway. All right, we got to, let me return. I think the Supreme Court is poised to hand Trump a win, at least a partial win. Whatever happens, you know for a fact that this is going to keep this thing way out ahead after the election, which is going to really screw with King. And I think we've finally gone over the edge. We went from supporting the Palestinians on the universities to now supporting Gaza. Now we've just come right out. I'll tell you where there are students carrying Nazi swastikas and signs that read "The Final Solution." Stick around. It's the Shannon Burke Show. Live from the Leesburg Bike Fest. We're on Main Street towards the end near 9th in front of Blue Island Sportswear place. Here till 6. Stop by and say hello. After all the stuff that went down yesterday, I didn't listen to it, front to back. But it seems as though the majority of Supreme Court justices kind of sympathize with Trump's attorneys and their argument that presidents do enjoy some level of immunity that endures past their term of office. Right? I think that's a win for him.
Yeah, I think they're going to just make a non-ruling on this almost.
I think so, too. But the majority seem to agree that presidents do enjoy the scope of immunity. The ultimate question, though, will be the establishment of the standard. And if the court institutes a test, it would vacate the lower court decision that former presidents have no immunity, sending that case back to a trial court. And, you know, that would then undergo a point-by-point analysis of each fact to determine if immunity exists. And that would take months and months.
It would basically push it back, that trial, until next year.
Right. And this was to be the trial. I mean, so it makes this absolutely go away in reality. Because if Trump's elected, he could just cancel this whole thing.
Yeah. And honestly, I think if he's not elected, they'll just be like, it's not worth our time.
Right, because this was supposed to keep him from running, correct? Neil Gorsuch pressed the government's prosecutor, Dreeben, on all the hypothetical scenarios of leading mostly peaceful civil rights protests that could obstruct a proceeding. He said, so a president could then be prosecuted for the conduct I described after he leaves office. And Dreeben said, probably not. Well, that's the whole reason they're there.
Yeah.
That's a real
The problem is it isn't, they don't know what to do with this. This is a case that is one of the most monumental in our history, honestly, when you look at it. Because it does decide how the scope of the presidential powers in a way that's never been done before.
Yeah, and it wouldn't surprise me if they just if they dropped it all together because they don't want to decide this.
Yeah, I mean, because if you make a decision on this,
that's it.
You could completely hamstring the president from here on out, or you could completely give him utter control of all he wants. So it's
right.
Such a weird spot.
Well, he said presidents have to make a lot of tough decisions about enforcing the law, and they have to make decisions about questions that are unsettled, and they have to make decisions based on the information that's available. Do you But what if he makes a mistake? He makes a mistake. He's subject to criminal laws just like anybody else. And Dreeman pushed back a bit and says, well, he's got access to legal advice about everything that he does. But making a mistake is not what gets you into criminal prosecution.
And you, some people have had the best legal advice that hasn't got you, still got you in trouble.
That's true. That's absolutely true.
I mean, look at the other court cases he's in for. He was under his own legal advice.
Yeah.
And now he's in trouble, so.
Alito was dubious about it. Dreeman did acknowledge after Alito quipped that every once in a while there's an eclipse, too. He said, you come across a lot of cases where the U.S. attorney or another federal prosecutor, you really wanted to indicate a case, and the grand jury refused to do so. He said, yeah, well, yeah, every once in a while there's an eclipse. I think it was largely positive for Trump. It absolutely did not reveal that the court would universally agree with his position, but there's no indication that a majority would agree to some kind of immunity that would summarily end the current prosecution. That's what they're afraid to do, too.
Yeah.
I mean, and you know, after this election, it doesn't even matter anymore.
Yeah, no, like I said, I think at that point they drop it. Even if he's not elected, they just feel like it's not worth the continual prosecution. Well,
and that just shows everybody
exactly
that it was BS
it was.
To begin with.
Exactly.
That you just let it go and forget about it because, we tried to get it. But it's absolutely will be useless. Hey, Stella, I found a new pair of pants for you right here. Show this to Stella. I'm going to order these. What do you wear, 38? I'm going to get you a pair. I think what we're seeing at universities, you know, and all of them now, practically everyone, it's like, I think it's gone past the point of no return.
You can no longer scream racism on any college campus on there.
No.
Because of the fact that they've gone full racist on a college campus now.
Right. I mean, they went from, Free Palestine to we stand with Hamas.
Yeah, not only Free Palestine,
Jews.
But we also love a little Hamas and Hezbollah, too.
Right. To now outright calling for annihilation of the Jews, a protester at George Washington University had a sign calling for the final solution, which, you know, that's the Nazi plan to eliminate all Jews. He was mingling with other students on campus in D.C., carrying a huge Palestinian flag and a sign with the expression Adolf Hitler used to sum up his plan. Shocked a lot of people. He said the parallels between this movement and actual Nazism is real and scary. The only thing that's different is Nazism was a government. It was a large power as well as an ideology.
Yeah, but they're carrying on the ideology. But again,
right.
These are the same kids that 6 months ago you had a bunch of wahoos on wearing Nazi regalia over I-4.
Right.
And they're freaking out like, oh my God, it's the end of days. And now they're wandering around. They're the ones actually carrying the signs now.
On campuses. According to the university's newspaper, The Hatchet, students are demanding that George Washington University divest from companies tied to Israel, drop the alleged charges against pro-Palestinian student organizers, and disclose all of its endowments and investments. Yeah. George Washington requested assistance from D.C. police to help relocate an unauthorized protest, according to a statement from the college. It will not allow students from other colleges or unaffiliated individuals to trespass on our campus. I've noticed that at all these universities. All right, you can pitch your tent here. But no one from outside, the only students only.
Only if you're paying $80,000 a semester can you come over here and pre-chain.
The encampment there is an unauthorized use of university space. It's violating several university policies currently. Occupying campus grounds, establishing outdoor encampments, blocking access to buildings, create a lot of safety concerns and disrupt learning and study and blah, blah, blah. It's final exam time. These kids are camping out in the front yard. These activities are inconsistent with the university's mission, values, and commitment. I mean, then do something about it. What are they afraid of?
Kent State type of thing. I think they're afraid that they'll get to a point of it being a riot on campus, and then you have to bring in National Guard, and that looks bad when you have National Guard having to handcuff and drag away Ivy League school kids.
Yeah. And
which would be best for them. That's what they need. They need to be dragged away by a National Guard.
They need a big lung full of tear gas.
Yeah.
Maybe get tased. Here, you put that right there. Talking about your piece thing.
And a lot of lovely women.
Wait, what the hell is that? My bad. I hit the button. I mean, they're bordering on National Guard in New York City. And I suppose the government or the mayor could probably do it. Right? You know, the mayor could do it without the help of the governor.
Yeah.
But that's we've lost control.
Yeah, we cannot. That's what it shows us.
It just says we can no longer control these people. We've lost control of our campus. We need help from guys with guns. Well, so be it. Is that likely music you'd hear come out of a?
Ooh.
Yeah.
Sorry, I thought it was the golf cart the first time with the two old guys.
King Charles, they're tight-lipped on it. I don't know what the plan. It's in the news that they're dusting off his funeral plans, but I think they have a plan that they've thought of for every royal in the case that they they die. Right? I mean, they had.
My God, do you imagine how much dust was on the Queen's throne?
Oh, my God, that thing has been... There's probably nobody alive from the original one to go through the final one. They say that King Charles' funeral plans have been dusted off. His health remains a mystery. His is called Operation Menai Bridge, the code word for his death. Isn't that something? You've got a code word for your death.
Yeah, they're already planned, ready to go.
Nobody was really publicly asking, let alone answer the question, but just how sick he may be. The chatter is that he's a lot more unwell than his aides are letting on. It was prostate cancer, right?
Yeah.
That can move pretty fastly, though. Well, pretty quick, right? They don't respond to formal requests for comments on the matter. He's never said what specific type he had been diagnosed with, apart from they said it was not prostate cancer. He's understood to be making regular visits to London for radiotherapy treatment. Rectal?
Yeah, if they're doing radial, it's some sort of, bowel or...
Cancer of the anus.
I mean, that would explain his giant sausage fingers.
You think?
Yeah.
Would it?
Oh, yeah. He's got some sort of...
Oh, no, he's off his meds, you know,
yeah.
What was Johnny Cochran did to OJ, so his hands wouldn't fit into the leather gloves. He took them off his blood pressure medicine for a couple of weeks. The department responsible for all the state funerals, called the Cabinet Office, has declined as well. So how do we know that they've dusted it off?
Because there's people that are the dusted off guys that are whispering. Someone called down to wherever they store these and like, hey, can you go ahead and grab the King Charles book off the shelf? We may need to do some revisions to it.
You think that they... they probably do have to make some revisions because Harry's no longer a royal. I'm sure that changes a lot of stuff. Well, that's giving people quite a sense of gloom.
Is it, though? I think a lot of people... but I think a lot of people are ready for William to be king.
A young stud king?
Yeah.
Wish he had hair.
Yeah,
don't they have like a royal hair guy that could,
stitch it back into a skull?
Right, yeah. I think so, too. But if I'm King Charles, man, you weren't king very long at all. You were in the books for, what, a couple of years?
Yeah, but it was always the plan for him only to be a couple of years.
He better start. I would be king. I'd be doing king stuff like crazy right now.
He hasn't even had to do one execution yet. What is he waiting for?
Well, they're all worried because Queen Elizabeth was called Operation London Bridge. Menai Bridge is a suspension bridge that connects the island of Anglesey with Welsh, the mainland. They say that hers went off like clockwork, and they set a very high bar. It's not an emotional thing. It's this business. One takes it very seriously. And understandably, no one plans to get caught out.
It's a very British thing. No way to explain it.
It's nothing emotional. It's just business. Well, that's got to be awkward for you, too. You're like, oh, you had your royal penis washer in your bath, and you go head down for some biscuits and whatever they eat, and the paper's on there, and the news is that your funeral plan has been brought up from the basement.
Yeah, I mean, do they come by, too, and like, all right, King, I know you're enjoying your scone, but do you want the white flowers or the red flowers?
Yeah. Any preference, Your Highness? I'd be a little bit worried. Oregon dude has been arrested. He was a DEI guy working for a nonprofit. They were found. It's called Alberta Main Street, is the name of it, and they're a DEI outfit, and they wanted to make sure that the promote Portland's Alberta Street District as an equitable commercial district. They wanted to improve our success, fulfill our mission as we strive to understand the address and address the historical legacies of systemic racism and inequality.
Of course.
Absolutely. However, Devin Horace, the man that was running it, has been arrested because he siphoned $100,000 off the company.
Has there ever been one of these programs that hasn't had a guy that was stealing money off of there?
Diversity, equity, and embezzlement.
Yeah, it's what it's becoming.
$100,000. I wouldn't imagine that an outfit that was designed to keep a commercial district a couple of blocks.
Oh, I bet you it had $1 million grant from some garbage, federal grant. They gave it $1 million grant, and then at that point, people don't notice $100,000 or does it go disappearing?
They're all about promoting equity and inclusion within their community. How do you do? That's a ridiculous way to raise money. You want equity and inclusion in a community.
So we throw cash at it.
Right. Horace also withdrew thousands of dollars from the charity's bank accounts for no real legitimate purpose. He worked for Nike and the Portland Trailblazers and prevailed upon those companies to donate to his new charity. However, instead of depositing the money, he hid the donations from the nonprofit and diverted the money to himself, later falsifying records that he showed to the organization's treasurer. You're right. All right. It's when you can't hear the guy's motorcycle, I think it's fast.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, doesn't he want to hear his motorcycle? Isn't that the whole reason? Blah, 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 blah. Is that a boochk, boochk? It would be me. How annoying. I'm going to yell at the next guy. Turn it down! If you are a medical student, congratulations. That's quite an accomplishment. But if you're a UCLA medical student, I feel very sorry for you. UCLA, all first-year medical students there are required to read an essay by Marquisel Mercedes, a self-proclaimed fat liberationist. This is you're a medical student.
Yeah.
First year.
You know, their profession is supposed to keep people healthy, you know. Yeah.
And to be able to tell people they might want to lose a couple of pounds.
You might be losing a little fat.
They say it's a fat class, basically. A fat pride staffer. Who they warn these doctors, these young trainee doctors, rather, that using the word obesity, which is the medical term to describe someone who is very overweight, using that term as a doctor is violence.
So what term are you supposed to use? Is there someone that's thin, disabled, or?
She says obesity is a slur used to exact violence on fat people. Particularly black, disabled, trans, and poor fat people.
It's a very slim margin right there.
Yeah. It's a profound, misguided view of obesity, a complex medical disorder with major adverse health consequences for all racial and ethnic groups. And teaching one guy, a doctor that's actually on the UCLA medical school board, on the board of directors there, said, this is ignorant. Teaching it to students is malpractice. she uses a social media account, Marcus Sally, what's her name? She says, it's so effing isolating to be a disabled black fat person working toward individual collective liberation.
It doesn't sound like she's all that isolated since they're having to read her essay to go to medical school.
Yeah, to make it required. She led presentations on how does anti-fatness show up in the work that you do, which she says using fear-mongering language in order to encourage healthy eating and physical activity. That's fear-mongering. Yep. I mean, you're a... If you're a doctor and you endorse, you don't bring it up, right? I mean, there are standards for the BMI might be BS, but there are some obvious standards.
There is a ton of research into the fact that if you lose weight, you get healthier. It's just right. It is. Your blood pressure will go down. All these things. You won't lose your breath
walking across the street.
Yeah. Some people cannot do it. Sure, disabled, whatever reason. But for most people, losing some weight will improve their health. And that should be something a doctor tells them to do.
Right. Like that doctor on My 600-Pound Life that goes in and does the bariatric surgery on these big jumbo people that come in there. Isn't there a national board of medicine? They can say, hey, let's pull back the reins there, guys. You are doctors, or you're going to be doctors sometime soon.
And we want you to be able to walk into a room, look at a patient, say, you're too fat, you need to lose weight.
Well,
too fat
might be a little heavy. I mean, you could say, listen, you could stand to lose a few pounds, like 50.
No, a good doctor should walk in there and be like, yo, fat ass, you've eaten too much, lose some weight or you're going to die.
Right. Okay. Man, you sure put on a few, huh, lard ass?
Were you eating Dunkin' Donuts before you came into the see me?
I could hear you getting fat right now.
Why is your blood type maple syrup?
She is just one of the fat positivity activists out there. Now it's in med schools. That's, can you even mention it at all? So, okay, you go into a doctor's office, you're clearly 500 pounds. You got a 60-inch waist, you're out of breath, you got that extra growth. You know how they get that growth? It's like came out of a bulbous growth of their thigh, now it's dangling by their foot, and you can see they have to wear really big pants. And so you go see the doctor, and he's like, well, how's it going? And he goes,
oh, that's a pretty good doctor.
And the doc goes, well, everything looks good here. want a lollipop?
Well, have you considered trying to get from 5X to 4X in all your t-shirts? Maybe? Just we'll try?
I mean, wouldn't you? You'd be remiss if it's like if you went to a doctor and had a giant open wound on your arm and there were maggots in it, the doctor didn't say something about it, and he would be remiss in his duties.
Doctor, are you a wound phobic?
America is one of the hungriest countries, believe it or not.
I know, you follow the too many fat people story.
It's a bit of a juxtaposition here, but when we get back, it's bad here. 17 million households are struggling to get to afford food. And I'll tell you how we rank up against other G7 nations. We're live at the Leesburg Bike Fest. It's the Shannon Burke Show. Live at Leesburg Bike Fest. Stop by, say hello. We're at the end of Main, right in front of the Blue Island Sportswear. Our buddy Michael Breen is going to be out here in the next segment of the program. America is hungrier under Joe Biden than it has been in a very, very long time. Food insecurity. 12.8% of Americans claiming they struggled to afford food in 2022, a 2.6% increase from the year prior. That number is now 17 million.
I thought we're doing great.
Yeah, I thought we the greatest economy. Everything was doing fantastic. According to a Gallup analysis, this month, the United States has the highest rate of people that are under stress to afford enough food for themselves and their families compared to Canada, France, Germany, Italy, Japan, and the UK. Every other G7 country, we're the bottom of the barrel. But we're supposed to have the best economy ever. That's a lot of hungry people. 17 million. Is this the Gen Z people that can't deal with this word?
These are the ones going into the workplace that can't. It's the Gen Z and lower millennials that can't hang out with this.
31-year-old accountant director that works with a creative director. Would they get a message? And the subject line is, "Hey," they dread opening the message. It sends some of them into a tizzy. They fear the worst. The "Hey" might arrive in your Slack or your Microsoft Teams, your Google Chat, a text, an email. Brian Robinson, a psychotherapist and author of the book on hybrid working, says the word can engage a fight or flight response. The brain has to know what's going to happen for survival, he says, and it often jumps to the worst case scenarios. Our minds just instantly go to, "Oh, I'm in big trouble. I'm in hot water. Oh, I'm doomed." "Hey" messages send one woman, Athena Hasbani, quote, down a terrible rabbit hole. She got a recent "Hey" message. Included a request for a link for a presentation and a question about how she'd be in the office so they could collaborate. If it's a plain "Hey" or "Hi," I'm going down a terrible rabbit hole, she says.
Yeah, these people can't be out in society. They can't handle it.
I mean, it's a greeting. It's a casual, right? I mean,
yeah, because most people don't, you know, I don't use it too often, because if I want to send something, I'm just sending whatever I'm sending a text message for.
Right.
Like, meeting 4 o'clock. It's not, "Hey, meeting 4 o'clock.
Well. Oh, you want to get to some of those before we're going to be, or we, no, we'll be all right. Well,
we probably might want to knock out a few of them before, Heather, so we can.
Remarks are not as scheduled these days. Today, I apologize. We're going to have to mix it up. Well, we're good in the last hour, though. That was what we were worried about yesterday.
Yeah, but we have next hour Breen, our next segment Breen, so we probably want to knock out a few, and then we'll get to Heather.
Heather, does that sound good to you?
I guess so. Fine. I don't care.
You got the music ready? From the Florida Man radio app and powered by Morris Family Farms and Organic Meats, the app is wonderful. All the archives, all the podcasts, commercial-free, this show, Don's show. And text the show, call the show. You can also hit the little button at the bottom and leave a message. It's 30 seconds long. Here we go.
I wanted to say about Joe Biden and Jill Biden. Jill Biden cheated on her husband with Joe Biden. That's how nasty she is. But you don't hear about that. Nasty Jill Biden cheated with Joe Biden. And then when her husband divorced her, they tortured this man.
Where is she?
Just look it up and you'll see the things that they've done to him. I don't know what I'm doing. So if I'm on here a couple times, I just want to say, Shannon, you rock. I'm from Atlanta, but I live here in Niceville now.
I love
everybody on the Florida Man Radio. It's just a lot of fun.
Thank you.
And I appreciate you guys for the laughter and the fun and information.
Right. Yeah.
And just a good old time.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Is Stern interviewing the 1,000-year-old man? Because Biden sounds like he's at death's door. And, you know, I'm so glad I quit listening to Stern years ago, ever since he soured on Trump. And ever since he told Trump supporters at the rally they should inject themselves with, I don't remember what it was, was it chlorine? I don't know.
Also said,
anyway, FJB and beat him.
He also said that he wanted people that weren't vaccinated to stay at home and die.
So he could go next door to play chess.
It's Stern?
Yeah, with a kid next door.
Yeah, Shannon, that interviewer who was interviewing Biden, who had his head up his ass so far, I wonder if you saw Lemmy Winks up there. Or maybe Paris Hilton. Be-doo, be-doo.
Come on.
I was listening to Howard Stern back in the 80s. He was on in the afternoon. I used to watch his videos, bought his books. I followed him. But that dude is a sellout. How many times has he cried that somebody takes a contract and they don't show up to work, but they're taking the money? AKA Oprah. He's doing the same thing. I don't even listen to him no more. And that's why I got Sirius Radio.
Is it Howard Stern or Coward Stern? Or maybe Coward Friendly, because he's not Stern. Anyway, what a joke of an interview that was. I don't know what that was, but he saw such a liar, man. It's crazy. But yeah, he's a father of all America. Yeah, he's going to show you this.
A father. Is that what he really thinks the president should be, a father for America?
Father to all Americans.
I think Governor Abbott totally missed the mark here, pun intended. He just opened up a whole new avenue for a new form of tourism in Texas. And we're scheduled to come down to South Florida very soon, and I'm thinking, hell, we should add a stop in Texas for a little bit of pepperball practice.
You could sell those pepper balls to people and put them up in like a deer stand or something right next to the railway.
Hey, Shannon. I heard on Bubba's show this week you're now prime time drive radio host and Florida Man Radio program director. Privileged. Actually, congratulations. You deserve it.
From now on, nobody on the left can ever call anyone on the right a Nazi. It's done.
Yeah. Right.
Howdy, guys. It's Nate Bakers from California. I actually like the ambient noise. It's very organic. Yesterday, everybody was going on about that ad where you text in a country that doesn't have the letter A in it. So yesterday, I decided to do a little experiment, and I texted a country in to see what would happen. And I skipped right past Egypt and, you know, Czech Republic and Niger and all those countries. And I texted in Canada. And they sent me back a text saying that I got a trip.
Congratulations. Yeah. Oh, my God, that's funny.
Hey, Shando. You know, depending on where the P-spot is placed, if it's lower on the thigh, it might just kind of make it look like you're hanging a little bit lower in the donger region there, if you know what I'm saying. So maybe that pee stain is there to kind of make you...
Gotcha.
All these illegal aliens coming over on this train called the Beast should be automatically detained as soon as they hit our borders, not hit with pepper ball guns. We need them healthy. They should be given shovels, like Obama said. We have plenty of shovel-ready jobs as in fixing our damn roads. Every State Department of Transportation needs help. Give them shovels, coal patch, and a one-year sentence, and we'll see how long they last here filling potholes.
Hey, y'all. Matt Laguna. Already drunk as hell, drinking some cheap vodka. But
Matt, it's noon, buddy.
Yeah, dude.
The background sounds with the Harley Davidson are awesome. I am totally digging this broadcast.
All right.
I've always been wanting to ask if the chicks on the Premier Couple Superstore commercial, are they vegetarians? Just asking for a friend.
I don't believe so.
They're just friends that get together and put love oil on each other.
That's how they start their girls' night. Yeah. Well, most ladies start the night at the porn joint, get some the dildo stop and love oils, and then they go get some Chardonnay.
I'd like to amend my earlier idea about the new form of Texas tourism. I think that they should also allow for remote access. So outfit some drones with pepperball guns, and you literally play it like a video game. And you can do it from anywhere as long as you have an internet connection. That would be freaking epic. And a huge moneymaker, too.
You're right.
B2B2.
All right. Heather, Are you ready?
I am. Do you have
Send
my
your
music?
Question. What?
Do you
yeah,
have?
I do.
Okay.
Certainly I do.
Whoa. Whoa, you have her music.
Oh, okay. Well, Eric didn't, so I was going to have it ready.
I've got it right here. I'll go to heatherhasanswers@gmail.com, and we will answer your questions. Go ahead.
All right. Hey, Shando, EZ, and Double H. My current barber is my stepdad. It has its pros and cons, cheaper price, home cuts, but I feel like he never listens to what cut I want and just does his own thing. Half the time, I don't even like the haircut. I want to find a new barbershop, but I don't know how to tell my mom or anyone without starting something or hurting feelings. Cameron in Fort Walton.
I have some experience in this department. I married a hairdresser, and it is awesome. My haircuts are free. They're whenever, pretty much, you know, I got to work around her schedule. But on a Saturday afternoon, I run up there, about 15 minutes, my hair is done, neck is shaved, ready to go.
Has she ever given you a bad haircut?
No. Oh, never.
Nice.
But when I was going back and forth to Atlanta, I kept telling her I need a haircut when I'm in town in Orlando. And then I would go back to Atlanta. I wouldn't get it. Finally, I got out of control. I just wanted a haircut. I went to Atlanta. I got a haircut somewhere at a barbershop there. And when I got back here, did not go well.
Uh-oh.
She was not
You cheated
happy.
On your barber?
Yes. She was not happy. It's a family member. Maybe you ought to tell them stop making you look like a goober with your haircut. You know?
Yeah, I wonder if Cameron's taking a picture of what he wants with him.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, look, here's the other thing. Cheaper haircuts, it should be free. If it's your family member, I don't pay for a haircut. Just tell them, you know.
Well,
I get it. I get you're doing me a favor and all, but I'd rather pay full price and get what I want somewhere else.
All right.
There you go.
Okay. Here's the next. Dear Heather and crew, my dad might be an asshole. I'm a 20-year-old college student at UCF Orlando and studying criminal justice. I graduate next fall, two semesters early, so I'm not a dumbass, but I'm not a beefcake either. I'm 5'8 and about 150. I like to think I'm a healthy mix of intelligence and wit. Apparently, that's not enough. My dad thinks my mom cheated on him because someone as weak as me could not possibly be his son. He was being sarcastic when he questioned my birth after I could only curl a 20-pound dumbbell for 10 reps on my first day at the gym. To make it less awkward, I laughed it off, but his remark is haunting me. He says stuff like this often. Am I really that weak? I mean, I don't care if I am. I just want him to stop being a jerk. And instead of being a pansy-ass boy, I want a witty retort, and I know you all have something. Let's hear what you have. Kurt at UCF.
I need to learn a little bit of details about your dad, but that's no way to treat your son, you know?
No.
Yeah, he kind of is an asshole. You're right on that.
He's definitely an asshole. I'd find something about him. You know, is he overweight? He's got a little pot belly, you know? I don't know. Just tell him he's a dick. You could just do that. You know, you're a real dick, Dad.
Ask him if he has trouble finding underwear that could hold his manhood as well. It's like, maybe I don't know, maybe I didn't get that from you.
Oh, yeah, next time you just pull the waistband of your pants out a little bit. No, yeah, I definitely didn't come for you, Dad.
Oh.
Some guy with a much bigger dong gave birth to me, or sprang forth.
Okay, and my last one. Dear Heather, I'm a single man. I live next door to my sister. I make good enough money to where I can afford to buy myself some of my favorite snacks, things I will actively look forward to eating when I get off work. My sister has the backup key to my apartment, and my nephews have recently taken that key and using it to get into my apartment and raid my pantry while I'm still at work. Now, I had allowed them to visit when I wasn't home so that they could play my video games. I don't care about that. I tried to talk to my sister about her kids eating my food. If they just ate a little, it would be less of a big deal, but they're teenage boys who eat a lot. She and her husband, mainly him, laughed it off saying, they're just kids. I'm done playing this game, and if it happens again, I'm taking back my key. It's gotten to the point where I'm spending hundreds a week to try and feed myself and them. Talking to her doesn't seem to work. What would you do, John, in Graceville?
I'd get a locking file cabinet. You can get one on Amazon for about $50, $60, and put it in your bedroom or somewhere and put all your snacks in it and lock it up. Lock them up and leave nothing in their fridge but like a...
Milk.
A jar with one pickle in it.
I'm not even doing that. If I'm paying for it all by myself, I'm getting some chains. I'm putting chains around my fridge, put chains around my cabinet. Locking every bit of that up. I'll leave a bag of like goldfish out on the counter, like good go, good luck.
This is all you got, fellas. Yeah, that would be that's gonna get expensive. Hundreds a week for pinwheels and cookies and such for your nieces and nephews.
Yeah, that gets that is expensive.
Either that, I mean, he wants to have snacks around. I guess you could not have your own snacks around, or you could just buy really bad stuff that the kids won't like. Like, you know, cans of sardines, Triscuits, things like that.
There's nothing wrong with Triscuits.
with a sardine on it, you're right. Absolutely.
I know, it's delicious, but kids aren't exactly heading over to eat a box of Triscuits with some sardines.
No, not at all. But that sucks. You'd like to be, you know, friendly uncle next door.
Right.
And if you're rich, I'm sure you wouldn't mind, but, you know, you're working for a living, you probably don't want your sister's kid. Why do you live next door to your sister? How about this? How about move? And don't tell her where you live.
He didn't say their relationship was bad. He just doesn't want the kids eating his food. Like, he's still okay with them coming in. Just, you know, cut it out with the food. He should start charging his sister. Like, just give her the bill.
She's already said she's not going to do that.
Right.
So he just needs to put it up. Yeah, put it in a high cabinet, lock it up, whatever.
They're just kids. Yeah, put it, lock it up, and put it, stash it high. Well, they got to get up and start surfing around for it?
They might.
Put it in that cabinet above the refrigerator. Kids never look in there.
Never. They can't see it.
You think?
Oh, yeah. They can never see that cabinet. They're like blind to it.
It does, like it doesn't exist.
Huh.
There you go.
That's great. I'm going to start using that cabinet. Thank you.
I bet you don't have anything in that cabinet, do you?
I, you know, I'm wondering what's in it. I know we put something in there.
That cabinet is a dog treat. And dog medicine cabinet at our, and ear wash and all dog stuff up there.
I think that cabinet is full of plastic margarita glasses in my house.
You win.
Thank you, Heather.
Thank you. If anybody wants to have me or Shannon and Izzy decide what's going wrong in their life or help them decide a problem, let me know. Heather has answers at gmail.com.
Thank you. Thank you, Heather. Heather has answers at gmail.com. Oi. I've heard about a brand. I don't know how this works. I don't have a use for it any longer, but young men, there is a new condom out there. They're offering packs of three. They're about $10. And they are pre-erection condoms. Pre-erection. You put it on up to 2 hours before even getting involved. What if you're
what if it's a long date? Do you have you carry it in your pocket like I gotta slip off and throw a preebie on?
They say the whole thing is about it is so that you don't, it prevents from distractions, right? That's always an awkward moment. And you helps you forget about last minute worries. Don't have to worry, you already got one on.
Wait, that's right. Just like a Boy Scout, I come prepared all the time.
Yeah. What if she says, do you have a condom? He goes, don't worry, I'm already wearing it. She's going to go, no, you're not going to fall for that again. The condom is placed over the flaccid penis that is stretched, covering like a sock. A ring at the bottom helps it stay in place. Once you're aroused, the condom expands along with you to a maximum length of 7 inches. Similar size, traditional ones sold by, like, Durex and all the other ones. The company that makes them out of Columbia, they even brag that they make love making so much easier and more fun because you don't have to interrupt your intimacy with the mundane task of putting one on. You've already got it on.
Yeah, but how does this thing stay attached?
I see a problem, though. Okay, say you put it on. You're out with your date. Things are going really well. You're having a couple of beers. Now you got to pee.
Yeah, you got to... Snatch the sucker off?
Okay, is it reusable, or could you just let loose in your and empty it later?
I hope not.
Once aroused, it expands. They say they can be made from a material 10 times thinner than latex. They insist its resistance against pressure, stretching, and rubbing, and it's more comfortable and feels like a second skin.
Just you only get a 3-pack of these as well, so you're really like guessing you're going to get some that night. Because otherwise, you're wasting this sucker.
Yeah.
And again, yeah, what do you...
You've got to go to the bathroom. I mean, I'm an old man. I got to go, you know.
What happens after two hours ahead, and are you looking at your watch like, okay, I'm running out of time. We need to get this going. I don't know what happens after 2 hours.
Oh, right. Does it expire?
Does it fall off? Does it, like the glue? I don't know what's sticking it to you.
A ring at the bottom, they say. I don't know if it's like you're strangling the little fella down there or what, but you can buy a jumbo pack on Amazon for about $160. A lot of people used it. One man compared the wafer-thin material to a cling film. Another wrote on a website, it took time to learn how to put it on. Others complained it was difficult to put on, and it kept falling off. You don't want it to fall off.
I'd be more worried about that. It, like, falls off, and it, like, falls out of your pants leg. And...
Right. They do say the firm makes no claims about the contraceptive's effectiveness or why it has a 2-hour limit. And men cannot urinate while wearing it unless you take it off.
That's even worse. They tell you they're not even sure if it actually works.
They also claim it can overcome condom-related erectile dysfunction. Yeah.
Well, that's right. Just saran wrap your dong before you head out.
He said it was like cling wrap. It's like a press and seal at the bottom.
Lovely is the good stuff that they used to make. Before they took all the chemicals out of it, actually stuck to things.
Right. They, one online review of the condom said, I would say that this condom, the sex was even better than without it. All were asked to avoid having sex, drinking alcohol, using psychoactive substances, and viewing explicit photos 24 hours prior to the study of the condom. Each participant were asked to put it on before watching the sequence of videos. 3 neutral, 3 erotic, each roughly 3 minutes long. Control group volunteers did the same. At the end, they're quizzed on their erectile dysfunction, given a score of 25 in line with the International Index of Erectile Dysfunction, with low marks signaling the most severe case. No statistical difference in arousal with the pre-erection condom.
Curious what this 25-point exam is for erectile dysfunction, too.
Yeah, well, after only a 3-minute video? Come on. All right, we are live at Leesburg Bike Fest down on Main Street in front of the Blue Island Sportswear near Main and 9th, across the street from the McCracken Pub. You want to stop by and say hello? Our buddy attorney Michael Breen is going to join us next. Oh, there he is right there. Stick around. It's the Shannon Burke Show. At Leesburg Bike Fest, right in front of the Blue Island Sportswear. Attorney Michael Breen joins us. How are you?
Hey, how you doing, Shannon?
I love these events. You know, so many bikes, so many people. There's great people watching. You know, you get out and you realize that it's not just about American V-twins. It's all kind of motorcycles. Everyone out here, three-wheelers, spiders, you know, old Nortons and Triumphs. It's just a good time.
Yeah, it's fantastic. It's like... you look at all the customizations that are on these bikes, and I've come to the conclusion that if you can think it, somebody can build
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And if I look around, I'm like, oh, I need to get that. Oh, damn, I need that. That would look great on my bike.
Yeah, when I was at Daytona during Bike Week, I decided I put some highway pegs on my bike.
Yes.
Because they had a the Motorrad truck out there, and I've never seen it there before. So it was one of the first times they came out. So they had some great accessories. Yeah, put it right on.
I love highway pegs for sure. What's happening? What are we going to talk about?
Well, we talk.
Oh, the Florida State University or the anti-Israel, the pro-Hamas is turning out to be actually now it's just straight up pro-Nazism. I mean, at GWU, there's guys running around with swastikas and signs that say the final solution for the love of peace.
You know,
I mean, it's like 1930s Berlin right now.
No question about it. The quote masks are off now. They're not trying to hide anything. It's blatant anti-Semitism, and somehow or another, they feel empowered to do it
because they're being allowed.
That's what I mean. In all the other colleges that you hear these, you know, the Ivy League colleges, colleges in California and Chicago, they're letting the students, you know, run roughshod right. over everything.
In Columbia, I mean, they tore down that encampment, and then a day later, there's another encampment, and they said instead of tearing that one down, they said some of them had to go, and they negotiated on the rest. As long as you're all students, you know, I mean, it's like there's no enforcement whatsoever. It's like, get out of here. No, we're gonna say, okay, go ahead.
Okay, well, we got a solution for that here at Florida. Governor DeSantis just announced that any of these pro-Hamas protests going on at the University of Florida, if you violate their policy, you're going to get expelled. You're going to be thrown off campus, and you're not allowed to come back for 3 years.
Ooh. So there goes your college education.
There goes your college education. You know what? That's what these kids need right now. They need
consequences.
Yeah, they need to be told, no, you can't do it. And if you do, there will be a real consequence. Absolutely.
I mean, this behavior is exactly what people predicted when they started handing out trophies to everybody. You know, they're like, listen, this is going to, one of these days, it's going to come back and haunt you. They're like, oh, this is the right thing to do. The kids are, you know, there's no winners and losers. It's a nice thing. We don't want kids to be sad. Yeah. You know, and this is what you got. Well, this is what you got out of the whole
thing. I'll go out on a limb now and say, I think it also started back in the days where we used to tell our kids, use your words, use your words. And the parents, you know, no corporal punishment.
Right.
You know, you're in timeout. You can't go to your friend's house, something like that, right? That didn't work on me. I don't know about you.
Did not work on me.
Right. So, but my dad...
My father at the time had a 50-inch waist, and that belt would come off. I'd hear it come out of the belt. I'm like, oh no, here we go.
So I would either hear that snapping of the belt coming down the hallway, or I would, out of the blue, get the backhand.
Yep.
But I'll tell you what, you know, he straightened me out.
Yeah, it did.
And because these kids don't have any discipline at home, so when they come out into the real world, they go to college, they're away from home the first time, they have no bridle.
And when they do see or get a whiff of consequence, they don't know how to deal with it. They're like, what do you mean there's a consequence? What do you mean I can't do what I want?
Shocking.
This is impossible.
Yeah, you don't want to, because probably it's one of the first times somebody ever told them that your behavior is unacceptable.
Yeah, you can't do what you're doing.
Exactly.
You know, but we were talking about this earlier. These kids went from a pro-Palestine, peaceful, then to, free Palestine. They decidedly went and started saying things like, we're all Hamas, and being a Hamas fighter is not really a bad thing, and putting themselves with them, and now that's just straight out, here's the swastika, final solution, let's get it cooking. I mean, how long, or will it get as bad to where people are hurt, killed?
Absolutely. They already... I think that a Jewish man died in L.A. when he got hit in the head with a bullhorn.
That's right.
So, and that was very early on, and since then it's only intensified.
Right.
So it's not like any of these places that have control, like the universities, where they have control over their property, they have control over the students, but they're not maintaining control. They're not, exercising control, and yet they could at the flip of a switch.
Do you think they're afraid of a Kent State situation? Because
No, I don't. I think they...
Were they afraid of the optics of it?
You know, honestly, what I think is a lot of the academics and a lot of these academic institutions actually support this stuff.
Many of the professors are arm in arm with them.
Yeah, they are. Well, you know, and a lot of them come from the foreign studies, African studies, Middle East studies. These professors are rabid anti-Semites.
Right.
And they're not only transferring that anti-Semitism to the students, but they're also rewriting history. They're not telling the students the truth. They're not showing the conflict, how it started, how it's been maintained. They flip it. They make it one-sided, right. And you know, they point the finger at the evil Israelis, at calling them colonists.
Yeah,
and
settlers.
But they know nothing about the history.
And all the other words are of genocide. United States and every other country, the United Nations, all agrees there's no sign of genocide. It's apartheid. The only place it's apartheid is every Arab nation over there. There's 2 million Arabs living in Israel right now. There's none living in Palestine, none living in Jordan, none living in Lebanon,
Egypt. Why don't we do a count of places of worship? So if you look at Jewish synagogues, how many Jewish synagogues are in those Arab nations? You can probably count them on your, you know, your hands.
Right.
And most of them are probably museums or, you know, some type of historical site not in use. Now, how many mosques do you have inside Israel proper? Thousands.
Yeah.
So where's the apartheid? West Bank territories. There are signs that Israeli citizens are not permitted to be in those territories. So that's apartheid.
Right. Oh, yeah. That's apartheid.
Where is the Israeli apartheid?
I don't know.
I mean, they control non-citizens that come in. Of course. Every country should.
Right.
We should.
We don't have enough people.
Yeah. But no Israeli is allowed to cross the border into the territories.
And the story is all wrong, you know. That somehow that Israel has been opposed to living next to a Palestinian territory, and it's simply the exact opposite. 6-7 times that a two-state solution has been offered, and Israel's always said yes to it.
As a matter of fact, the last offer was almost 99%, including a section of East Jerusalem to be the capital of what they hope to be Palestine. And they refused it. As a matter of fact, that offer was taken by Abbas, and he has yet to respond to it, 14, 16 years later? He just hasn't responded to it.
Well, he got some time to look it over.
Yeah.
Probably had his attorney look at it, you know.
Yeah. And he's like in his 15th or 16th year of his four-year term.
A term of what?
of being the president.
You're talking about Abbas?
Yeah.
Where is he? Not even a statement from Abbas.
Oh, yeah, you don't hear him.
Have you seen him?
No, yeah.
You think he may be quite a visual right now, and verbal, and be out there, talking about the horror situation?
Well, what people don't realize is that not only does Hamas want to take over Israel, they also want to take over the West Bank. And that's being administered now by the Palestinian Authority, and they want to get rid of the PA as well.
What will become of the Palestinian territory once? I know Rafah is around the corner, so we're told nobody knows exactly when, but I would imagine that would wrap things up there. And then, what happens? I mean, it's been so quiet there since the ceasefire began, so they pulled out of that area. And yet the protests increase and they increase and they increase in intensity and numbers and violence. They're getting ready to go back in to Rafah.
Right.
What happens to the protest scene here?
All right. Well, what I understand is that Israel's intention right now is to make sure that Hamas is no longer a political influence and certainly no longer a military threat to Israel. So that's going to require, getting them out and rooting them out in Rafah, killing or arresting, and dismantling Hamas as a government. And if you're asking, what do I think?
Is there some Jordanian intervention here? Most of the Palestinians alive that I live in Jordan.
Okay, so right, Jordan is about 60 or 70% Palestinian to begin with.
Right.
And Gaza used to belong to Egypt. And what will happen is there's going to be a vacuum.
I used to have the same bike.
And people who are in the know are talking about possibly having some Arab coalition come and administer the territories politically. Israel will provide, security. I heard talk maybe Saudi Arabia would be the key component to that. And so Saudi Arabia could send over, people to help establish a new government inside of Gaza. They could work in coordination with Israel for security, and they seem to be like the best partner that Israel could hope for to try to
establish some type of government there, some type of in terms of rebuilding it's largely going to fall on Israel and everyone else in the world. When and if that happens and everything calms down, Saudi Arabia comes over there, they're going to get a government together, let's start cleaning up, get some bulldozers in here. what happens to that movement here?
You say it's largely on Israel's shoulders, and I disagree.
Well, I'm not saying that I agree that it's that's who is going to be tagged with the responsibility.
But if you get that Arab coalition together, you take the Gulf states that are members of the Abraham Accord, and you add Saudi Arabia to that, because hopefully they will become part of that. Those, come on, these nations are the most fabulously wealthy nations in the Middle East.
Saudi Arabia can strike a check.
So there's no reason why Israel should be tasked with any of the rebuilding, considering they were victims.
As long as the government, like Saudi Arabia is not going to come in there and use all the money. It's got a beautiful coastline, Gaza. It could be a gorgeous vacation destination, which it was for a lot of that part of the region before. Who knows? I don't particularly care because I'm not over there. As long as it's calm and there's no rockets coming out of Gaza anymore.
As long as it's demilitarized and they live peacefully side by side. I mean, if they just engaged in normal relations and economic trade with Israel, you know how prosperous they would be? I mean, if you ask the West Bank Arabs, would they rather have Hamas govern them, the PA govern them, or Israel govern them? They all vote for Israel.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Every one of them. Because they know they live better under Israeli rule than they do under the PA. The PA is a very corrupt organization.
Oh, yeah. They can't keep the water on the PA,
It's unbelievable. But because Israel subsidizes a lot of their utilities, they foster a lot of trade.
They allow people to come into Israel and work.
Right, exactly. And that's why they're able, that's why they do better in the West Bank than anywhere else.
I'm not concerned about the Florida universities here, because I think we've got it under wrap, but I have a deep concern about, I think my daughter is going to graduate in May from UT. We're just going nasty down there. She'll have her master's. She doesn't go back anymore. But I would really be concerned if I had a kid, especially if I had a Jewish kid on any campus in America.
I would pull my kid. If my child was anywhere other than in Florida, I would bring them home.
Yeah.
There's no question. And for all these poor Jewish students that are on campus and being attacked like that, you know they're paying an awful lot in tuition.
So, 80 grand, 60, 70, 80 grand.
How in the world would a parent stroke a check to a university that demonstrates, outward anti-Semitism?
I'm willing to bet, Mike, that, Michael, that a lot of those parents may be legacies. They might have gone to Columbia. They're proud their kids going there. They're just as leftist as their kids are. And they might think they're very proud. Like Ilhan Omar's beaming with pride that her little angel got arrested for being in an encampment.
Yeah, I think that's a red line for a Jewish parent.
Oh, yeah. Oh, hell yeah. I would hope so.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, liberalism can only go so far.
I agree. Did you catch any of Trump's immunity stuff in the Supreme Court?
No, I did not.
I think he stands a chance.
Well, if he doesn't stand a chance, then there's many other presidents that are still alive that won't stand a chance either.
It boggles my mind that Democrats would want to bring this up now and really put presidential immunity on trial and either decide and really, because right now their angle is there is no such thing. And I'm certainly down the line there will be some Democrat president that wish they had immunity.
I bet. I did hear that during the oral arguments, Justice Clarence Thomas asked one of the government attorneys, what about Obama's bombing of drone bombing of civilians?
Yeah, and what about he went so far back as the JFK's Operation Mongoose in Cuba?
Right.
They all gave them a chance to stop and think. Whatever they did here has stalled Jack Smith to way after the election. I don't even know that they would even pursue it. Trump, if he wins, he'll make all of this go away. So that's the weirdest music we hear on some of these motorcycles that come through, like Michael Jackson, some big burly Bobby jamming on on Pretty Young Thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think this is gone. It's no longer a factor because it's going to take months and months and months to sort it out. They're going to toss it back down to the lower level court, let them sort out each thing. You know, was it a personal action? Was it official action? There's a lot to talk about. And I think they were ill-prepared to prosecute it.
This is all to keep him from being elected. Sure. And I think what they figured was that if they did get rid of the immunity and they continue to prosecute him, and if they're able to convict him and jail him, and at the same time continue to steal the election and then they maintain control. I'll tell you what, if you had all three house, if you had the two houses in the White House,
done. And you stack the court,
then those presidents that should be fearful would never be fearful. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, you're right.
Yeah,
I'm sure that the few living, probably, you know, we're worried about a few skeletons back there. They don't want to come out, you know.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. Bill Epstein.
Oh yeah, could he be? He could be prosecuted.
Sure, why not?
Yeah, absolutely,
why not?
What's going on with the homeowners insurance situation in Florida? It's making homeowner, it's already 7.4%, the average 30-year rate right now already makes it difficult enough for, you know, people that are young, getting out of college, starting their life. But then they've got to look at their homeowners insurance here, and it might price a lot of people out of living in the state of Florida.
It, either that or they'll go naked for coverage. Right now, I mean, it's been devastating. Even when Governor DeSantis signed the new law, he signed a law that prevents attorneys from collecting fees from the insurance company in the event a homeowner wins. We had a statute in Florida. It was enacted in the 60s. And it says that when an insurance company wrongfully denies your claim and you sue them and prevail, then that insurance company has to pay your attorney's fees.
That's the way it usually is, right?
That's right. It's been that way for, 40, 50 years?
Right.
So, traditionally, you know, I would say, like, the average single roof in Florida is probably under $20,000.
Right around there. We just put one on.
Okay. So, if you were to sue an insurance company and come to a lawyer, and the lawyer would say, well, don't worry about it. I don't care what the price of your roof is. I'll sue them, and when I win, I'll get paid by the insurance company, and you'll get your $20,000 to put your roof on, right? Governor DeSantis took that away. Well, he was convinced by the insurance industry that if only they didn't have to pay attorney's fees, we could lower our premiums and we could give more coverage and we could write more policy. Just take away the attorney's fees. We're tired of it.
I can eat up your roof.
Here's two problems with that. The first thing is this. The only reason you're paying attorney's fees is because you messed up. You wrongfully denied the claim.
Right.
So if you wrongfully denied the claim, that's your punishment. And that's what keeps them honest. Because they know that if they deny the $20,000 roof and Michael Breen sues them and wins, they're going to pay $20,000 to the thing, but they're going to pay me $100,000, $150,000, depending on how hard and how long they fight, right?
So this deters homeowners from suing their insurance company.
Now, your $20,000 potential recovery, you're going to have to pay me 40%, a third maybe, you know, if that... ends up being our system. So now you're down to like $14,000 on your $20,000 roof, right? Well, I had to hire an engineer. That's $3,000. I had to file a lawsuit. That's $5. God forbid I took a deposition, bought a transcript. That's another $1,500. What's that leave you at the end of the case?
Not screwed.
You're still not getting a roof. Yeah. So now...
Is this for any other industry? Does have the same attorney's fees agreement or law? I mean, most other industries.
The predominant ones are automobile and homeowners are the one and two attorney's fee shifting provisions for consumers. And would you have such a small amount of money at stake? Like, let's say your car gets damaged in a parking lot. You got $1,000 worth of damage. Your insurance company, for whatever reason, not going to pay it. Your upside's $1,000. But with the attorney's fee provision in the auto statute, you could get your attorney's fees paid. So an attorney will jump on that, and it'll work the claim for it. If you've got medical billing claims, same thing. The bill was $6, $60, $600. It doesn't matter. The attorney will file the suit, and then they'll get paid
when they win. Yeah.
When they prove that the insurance company, quote, wrongfully denied the claim, right?
Right.
Well, now that the governor's taking that away, whether they wrongfully denied or not, you're never going to be made whole, because if you end up paying an attorney a portion of your recovery...
You're still stuck without a roof.
You're stuck without a roof.
Wow.
Oh, okay, so then, meanwhile, they took away the attorney's fees, right? So it's going to save insurance companies, according to them, tens of millions, hundreds of millions of dollars. But what do they do with your premium? They raised it. Everyone's got raised.
Hell yeah.
I mean, in the last 3 years, I would say I'm a double and a half.
We were going to double and a half, but one of the provisions was we could bring it down to here if you put a new roof on. So we had to come out of pocket for $20,000, having the roof on to get it down to a reasonable, affordable rate. I mean, it will price people out of being able to afford to live in Florida.
So what's funny is they reduce their risk. And the premium either stays the same or goes up.
Right. They have
and they reduce the risk.
They made us reduce the risk by putting on a new roof. And then we still had to pay an increase in our insurance. It's just not as big as they were requesting.
It's a joke on us. It's just a joke
Where does it end?
Well, it ends when people call the governor's office and tell him that wasn't the greatest thing for homeowners in Florida.
We've got...
You could contact your local House representatives, your state representatives, and let them know about... the problems that you're going to have. I mean, you just wait. When the next storm comes through, and that's when people start calling my office asking for help, and when I explain to them, you're going to give me a portion of the recovery. You know, because the way I would explain it is this. Look, 100% of nothing is nothing, but 60% of a lot's a lot.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, you're going to have to come out of pocket for that 40%. And plus your deductible, don't forget that. Yeah, you got to pay that too. Right.
Attorney Michael Braden, if somebody has a non-biker law-related question, what's the best way for them to get in touch with you?
We have 407-7-LAWYER.
407-7-LAWYER.
That's us.
Very lawyerly phone number you have
there. Yeah, thank you. At least you know you're calling a lawyer in Orlando.
Yeah, it's true.
407-7-LAWYER. Yeah.
911-BikerLaw.com and, of course, 855-BIKER-LAW. When's our next bike night?
It'll be next Thursday.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
Looking forward to it.
Good to see you, brother. Thank you very much. We're getting dark next.
Yes. If you had a way, you had to talk to a bunch of people and they said, this is the way I want to die, what would you think would be?
Ooh. In my sleep?
I think a lot of people would say in their sleep, or I think a lot of people would say while having sex.
Oh, okay.
Dying while having sex is not always good, though, and we'll talk about some people that did.
Okay. All right, that's next. Hang on, it's the Shannon Burke Show. Live from Leesburg Bike Fest, right on Main Street. We're in front of the Blue Island Sportswear. Don't forget, Low Cash is headlining here. It's on the Progressive Budweiser stage. Tomorrow night, it's Sugar Ray. Sunday, it's Frankie Ballard. Gator Harley stage is, I don't even know, Chris McNeil, Brian James, Ray Nichols. You know the great Ray Nichols.
Mm-hmm. And Steve Carwell and the Neon Drifters.
The Neon Drift, they're back together?
Yeah, they are.
There's two stages, tons of music, a lot of vendors, good food, a lot of booths, motorcycles. It's your typical bike event.
It's a bike fest. Yeah. I'm out here. I mean, some great rides out here.
I've seen so many cool bikes roll by here. Tons of them. That's bad in New York City when Ronald Reagan's failed assassin won't go there to play his music there. John Hinckley, you may know him as a would-be presidential assassin, but now he is a musician. He announced at a performance last week on X that he was going to be playing in Manhattan. We remember we played some of his music.
Yeah, it's not good.
Absolutely the worst. I mean, it stinks on ice. I mean, he's a bad guitar player. The songs he writes that he plays are his, which are, it's a bad idea. Really, the only reason he's got anybody coming because you want to go see the guy that shot Reagan.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't want to.
I don't think he even has one song about shooting Reagan.
I'd be so mad he shot Reagan. I'm likely to shoot him. But he says, look, I don't know how you get a guy like this gets a show. You know how a guy like that gets a show in New York City? He shot President Reagan.
Yeah.
They probably celebrate him in New York City. They put him up on their shoulders. Yay, shot Reagan. He said, I can't go. New York City, I'm too scared. He said, I am afraid of New York City. I just don't want to go there right now. Pulled the show. It was a June show on Manhattan's Lower East Side.
Oh, so he doesn't even know it's going to get better.
Huh?
It's only May, and he's April, and he's already calling out of a June show.
Well, I think he sees a future decline. He said, they started contacting me and telling me not to go to New York City because it's so dangerous. They say, don't do it, John, because you won't be safe. I watch the news like everybody else, and I see how dangerous New York City is. with everything going on. So I told the guys that were putting on the show not to do it. If I'm going to put on a show anywhere, I want it to be safe for me and the audience. And right now, with the way New York City is, I don't think it could be safe for me or the audience.
Yeah, I don't want a chance of anybody else being able to run up and shoot somebody.
He says he, last month in an interview at the Post, he said he was a victim of cancel culture. Someone canceled a performance he had scheduled in Connecticut.
Dude, what is this world coming to that you can't shoot a president and not be canceled?
And then get a second chance. Look, he knows people aren't coming out there to hear his wicked guitar riffs and his, you know, his beautiful melodies.
The one time I heard one of his songs, it sounds like the frat guy at the college is just learning to play guitar, but he plays it everywhere he goes. That's what it sounded like to me.
One song?
Yeah, the one guy, you know, he's always going to break it out in the middle of the party.
Yeah, he's going to sing Roxanne.
Oh, yeah, at least once.
He's got 37,000 followers on his YouTube, subscribers. He had a sold-out gig at the Market Hotel in Brooklyn back in July of 2022. Tickets for to his upcoming June show were priced at $55.20 a piece. They were selling quickly. He said, I would have sold that show out. I sold out the Market Hotel in Brooklyn 3 days before they backed it. I got a pretty good fan base in New York City. But unfortunately, right now, it's too dangerous.
Hey, boss, I need to get out a little early. I'm going to the Hinckley show.
The old, right? I mean, does he have a fan base, really?
No.
A bunch of people that...
There's a bunch of people that are going there for the spectacle of the fact that they're watching a fat guy that shot Reagan play a guitar poorly.
It's amazing. I always wonder if it's the right thing that he got out of the loony bin.
I mean, he didn't kill him, so...
True. If he killed him, he would have got out, right?
Yeah, he'd have been... Yeah.
Well, let's get dark,
yes,
shall we?
Let's do that.
Dark music lady? And Heather, we got the dark music.
Did she leave?
Are you in the room?
There
we go. All right.
It's Disturbing History with EZ. There's a lot of history out there. Some of it isn't in the books.
Heather, who doesn't have whose music now?
I'm sorry, I had an important phone call.
Uh-huh. Well, it's Friday. I try to have a little fun on Friday. And I think a lot of people will say if they're going to ever go out, they have a couple of different ways that they want to die. A lot of people will say peacefully in my sleep or with the company of all my loved ones, I slowly sip into the abyss. Or even a lot of people will say I want to go out just going to town, like breaking a headboard.
That'll do it, too.
Yeah, oh, yeah, that'll kill you a lot. And apparently throughout time, there's a lot of people that have died.
Famous people?
Not so much famous people.
I
want to
go to the toilet like Elvis did.
No, just really straining out that banana sandwich.
Really? Well, famous people have gone out in the bedroom during coitus?
Not as many, but these are some people that have in some weird ways. And we'll start back in 1983. Sometime between about 4 and 6 a.m. on November 24th, the assistant manager of San Francisco's Condor Club, he died. I don't know, with your club, when you had it, did you have a piano in that club?
Yeah, we had a baby grand, yeah.
Was it stationary, didn't move?
No, you didn't. If we moved it, we had it tuned to wherever it looked.
Apparently, the Condor Club's piano was very special because they could lift it up into the rafters.
Oh, get it off the dance floor,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, Jimmy the Beard Ferrazzo.
Oh, no. I see where this is going.
Him and his girlfriend were crushed when the elevator piano accidentally rose to the ceiling. That's right.
They were on top of the piano?
On top of it.
And they got swooshed against the ceiling?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And they were just getting it on and didn't even notice that the piano was rising to the ceiling. Ferrazzo was caught between the piano and the ceiling while lying on top of his 23-year-old stripper girlfriend.
And she's goner, too.
Oh, yeah. Wow. The club's janitor, Angel Vicente, discovered the pinned couple when he arrived at work at 7:30 a.m., actually, Teresa survived it, so he cushioned the blow a little bit.
She was on top?
No, he was on top.
Oh, he cushioned the blow.
Yeah. The Condor Club broke boundaries when it opened the world's first topless bar in 1964. The club was made famous by stripper Carol Donda, And according to a 2015 obituary, Dota helps take stripping out of the shadowy margins of American society.
Yeah, it's nothing shadowy about it now. Straight up family entertainment.
I do love when death has a sense of humor. People get that karma at the exact right moment.
That wasn't karmic, was
this
it?
This wasn't karmic, but this one is. So, sexual assault.
Terrible.
It's terrible, and it can have the ataxia on the cardiovascular system.
On the attacker or the attackee?
On both, but lucky enough it happened to be the attacker this time, and that was convicted pervert Isabel Chavelo Gutierrez.
Is he really... I mean, they said you're a convicted pervert, or is he...
He was a convicted pervert. Okay. He died while he happened
Found
to be...
Found you guilty of perversion.
Sexually assaulting a 77-year-old South Texas woman. So, on June 2nd, 2011, Gutierrez, 52, crept into the woman's Tivoli residence by removing a glass pane on a screen door and attacked her at knife point. But in the midst of the assault, the 250-pound rapist rolled over, indicated he was not feeling well, and died.
Did she give him a...
I don't think she gave him mouth to mouth. No. Gutierrez is a known sexual predator. He had been convicted of aggravated sexual assault and indecency with a 7-year-old child. So, burn in hell, bastard. In 2008, he was paroled and listed on the National Sex Offender Registry. But apparently, he.
He had a high cholesterol. You know, that's. What was his name? It's a Hispanic diet.
Does
all the lard.
Mm-hmm. Gutierrez actually lived 2 miles away and rode his bicycle to the victim's house.
See, that's what did it.
Yeah, he was already worked out.
Slowly
yeah.
there, he might have been able to.
He was already well done.
Wow.
When you are having sexual relations, you've got to be careful with the toys that you use. Because sometimes it can be dangerous.
Yeah.
Love oils and such. On July 19, 2014, a German woman, she died during a cucumber sex romp.
Oh, no. What harm could a cucumber do?
Well, Vika Varna, she was 46 at the time, suffocated when her lover left the vegetable in her mouth and forgot about her.
Was she tied up?
Jammed a cucumber down in her mouth and left her. Oliver Dietman faces a sentence of 5 years. Was convicted of negligent homicide.
Where'd he go?
Dietman, 46, admitted to put the cucumber in Varner's mouth, but suddenly they apparently left some schnitzel on the kitchen stove and smoke coming from the kitchen. So after running to the kitchen, I guess there was not much of a fire, so he decided to feed his dog and then smoke a cigarette, all forgetting that Varna had a cucumber shoved down her throat.
Wow.
The autopsy revealed that
she was bound.
Yeah.
Because,
yeah. Autopsy revealed that Varna slipped into a coma after the cucumber caught up airflow. Dietman claims he tried to remove the vegetable, but it was way too mushy by that point.
Way too mushy?
Yep.
She probably just biting on it.
Prosecutors believe the four bottles of wine and multiple glasses of schnapps.
Yeah.
German schnapps.
Wine and schnapps.
During the after talking with the police, Dietman revealed that we often use vegetables because we have no proper dildos.
We have no proper dildos. Yeah. Yes. So
I don't know if Germany just does it as a drought of them, because here in the States we have you can go like every corner nowadays.
You might find one at a convenience store.
You can find them at Walmart, I think, now.
Are they illegal in Germany?
I don't know. They just couldn't find proper ones, so they took everything that was phallic-shaped and jammed it down her mouth.
It also contributed to our salads.
Oh, yeah. It's great afterwards. You just don't want to know where the cherry tomatoes were.
Oh.
On November 6, 2015, some lovers were murdered in an SUV during a tryst in Philadelphia's Fairmount Park. Zodiac killer. He was known to do the same thing.
Yeah.
Shakur Arlene and Lisa Smith were shot repeatedly in the head. And according to Philadelphia Police Captain James Clark, the shooting appears to be very much a crime of passion. You know why? Because both Shakur Arlene and Lisa Smith were dating. Another approached the vehicle, opened the door, and unloaded about 9 bullets into the couple.
Oh, man.
Police discovered the remains of Arlene and Smith in various states of undress. Investigators believe the murderer followed Smith from her home, which was about a half mile from the park.
They don't know who it is?
Well,
they couldn't pin it on one of you.
They couldn't, haven't been able to pin it on anybody yet.
That's what you get when you cheat.
Okay. Bestiality is wrong. I don't know if I should have to tell people that.
We'll get no argument from me.
For some reason, it comes up again and again, and people have to be explained that this is wrong. Even college professors do it, but it's bad. And this time, it ended up being really bad. In 2011, Irish authorities charged a 57-year-old man for violating the nation's bestiality laws after a mother of four died while having sex with his Alsatian dog. The problem was, the woman did not know that she had a severe dog allergy.
Oh, no. Oh, my God.
You may want to check your allergies before you try to bugger your dog.
She was a first-timer.
Mm-hmm. October 7, 2008, the 43-year-old woman died from a adverse allergic reaction to the intercourse.
She was allergic to dog semen, basically, what you're saying.
The dogs, period.
Yeah. Plus, you know.
The police do believe the sex was consensual, so...
The dog looked quite happy.
The unidentified victim fell ill about 7:30 p.m. was rushed to Limerick Midwestern Regional Hospital, and she succumbed about 8 p.m. The autopsy revealed that the cause of death was anaphylactic shock, the same condition suffered by people with peanut or bee sting allergies. So yeah. I will just let you take your mind wander on exactly why she may have had peanuts while having relations with said dog.
Are you beating around the bush?
The dog was.
Oh, yeah. I get it.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah, peanut butter.
I ran all the dog person sex things through my head. I couldn't quite figure it out. Now I get it. Got it. By the way, we don't endorse it in any way. It's wrong.
Zero. I said that. You said I don't even know why we have to tell everybody people that. Yeah, it's like number one on the list. Do not have sex with animals. February 2009. A Russian mechanic. He died from Viagra overdose.
Oh.
That's right. He's a man that had that erection and lasted for more than 4 hours.
And it killed him.
Yep. So 28-year-old Sergei Tuganov bet two female friends $4,300 that he could last a marathon 12-hour sex session.
Okay. And did he make it?
He did, because minutes after winning the wager, Tuganov died of a heart attack.
I bet they took their money back instantly.
According to one of the female orgy participants, we called emergency services, but it was too late. There was nothing we could do. This is not the only cause of death by erection, though.
Death by erection?
Death by erection.
Wait, the erection gave the heart attack, or the 12 hours of sex gave the heart attack?
All the blood flow down south. Heart was very weak. A Nigerian man was found dead in a hotel after an overdose of sex enhancement drugs. He probably was doing that horny goat weed and all that.
You gotta be careful with that stuff.
Yeah, it really... According to local news outlet Gistmania, he was trying to impress his new girlfriend and must have died from a constant stress of consistent hardness. That's something you put on your tombstone.
Constant stress of consistent hardness.
Investigators believe the man was overpowered by the drug, which he had never taken before. Overdoses of sex enhancement medication can lead to powerful, painful erections that can permanently damage the penis, so do it.
Damage it forever.
Practice safe Viagra.
Safe erections. I know they say, I mean, some guys take it, their eyesight turns blue. But they start to see things in a shade of blue.
Never heard that before. You've never awesome.
Really? Like, everything is tinted blue.
How much are you taking of that?
I think the steady, you know, you're taking it like twice a day.
Are you taking enough Viagra that you're starting to get Smurf penis? 2013. Exotic animal owner. Which, funny enough, this time doesn't involve bestiality. He was discovered dead, face down, on his waterbed, handcuffs and chains bound.
Who bound him?
They don't know. Sam Mazzola, 59. He was wearing a leather mask with his eyes and mouth holes zippered shut.
Oh, no.
A two-piece metal sphere covered his head, and a sex toy was lodged into his throat. They paid for the expensive one this time, though, not just the vegetables.
Thank God.
The coroner determined the cause of death was asphyxiation from the object obstruction in his airway. Suicide and homicide was ruled out. Mazzola died from accident during sexual oral play.
What? But
somebody.
It was oral play with a dildo.
Yes.
And someone tied him up and cuffed him. You can't do that on your own, right?
Yeah. The previous summer, Mazzola made headlines when his bear fatally mauled an employee. A black bear attacked Brent Kendra, 24.
You get a lot of stress. You know, you got to get tied up on a waterbed.
Yep. Actually, a teenage co-worker discovered Mazzola's corpse. He revealed that someone else was present and helped Mazzola with the bondage, but he left. You gotta practice safe bondage, though. You don't. You gotta have somebody there to be when you're doing things like that.
Yeah, like I bet Michael Hutchinson wishes he had someone there.
Asphyxiating himself. Super rich, famous people.
Thank you, brother.
Even super rich famous people with famous last names.
All right, let me hear it.
They also, too, can fall in. And that's Nelson Rockefeller.
What?
Yep. His death on January 26, 1979, will forever remain a mystery. Evidence suggests the former vice president, four-term New York governor, and scion of one of the wealthiest nation's wealthiest families expired during a little hanky-panky with his 25-year-old assistant.
The official how old was he?
He had to be in his 70s, yeah. The official story was he was at his townhouse working with Megan Marshak on a book about his art collection. His young blonde assistant was in a black evening gown when she called 911 to report the 70-year-old's death. The family allowed no autopsy and immediately had the body cremated.
Was he nude when they showed up there?
Oh, I'm sure they were. Whether true or not, the idea that one of America's most powerful men died during climax before became cemented in the American psyche. The official story and timeline has changed multiple times. The location, people present are under constant revision. The Rockefeller family issued an official statement insisting they would never again comment on the circumstances of his death, but he died doing what he loved.
Really? That's just saying yes without saying yes. He died while he was banging his 25-year-old assistant.
This one I love because this is another one you have to practice. If you're going to do something strange, you got to practice safety. So just after 5 a.m. on June 20, 2007, a taxi driver discovered two naked bodies on the street in Columbia, South Carolina.
Just on the street?
Yep. Brent Tyler and Chelsea Tumbleson, that name will be hilarious here in a second, both 21, were alive when found, but both were later pronounced dead at the Palmetto Health Richland Hospital. See, Brent Tyler and old Chelsea Tumbleston happened to be naked, banging it out on a 50-foot fall from a sloped roof. That's right.
Oh, no.
Chelsea Tumbleston took a tumble to her death.
They were on top of a sloped roof having sex?
The sloped roof resulted in death by multiple traumas. Investigators have found no signs of foul play, and they believe the deaths are accident.
Wow.
Tumbleston had studied nursing at the University of South Carolina. Tyler was a bartender who spent his time golfing, playing frisbee, and sailing.
What a way to go.
The couple both worked at Wild Wing Cafe for about 6 years.
That's how they got started doing it.
A homeless man, who apparently he was watching this like a hawk, he provided an eyewitness account of the incident. Authorities have not officially stated what the naked couple were doing on the roof. They were naked couple on the roof.
Just doing some Tai Chi, you know.
But their clothing was found on the roof 4 stories up.
Oh, my. So they fell 4 stories nude. I wonder, like, they were joined together and then the very end, it's just, you know.
Yeah, I'd like to know, I mean, were they... Was he behind her? Was she on top of him? I mean, what was the position you go for on a slope roof 50 feet?
That'll kill an erection like that. Once you start sliding off the roof, you're like, oh, yeah. That's it for me.
No. You're trying to like...
Alcohol is obviously involved.
It doesn't say, but it was 5 a.m. on a sloped roof. They were going at it. There was some alcohol involved.
Mm.
And finally, another one where you may want to practice safe sex when there's a chance that there's deadly predators around you.
Deadly predators?
Yep, March 2013. A lion fatally mauled a woman during outdoor sex in Zimbabwe. Sharari Marari.
Oh, my God.
Her and her boyfriend headed out.
Where? In India?
Zimbabwe.
It's a big problem with those things.
Her and her boyfriend headed out to a secluded bush location outside the town of Karabi for a little bangy-bangy.
Wow.
The lion approached them from behind and roared, which the boyfriend leaped up and fled naked.
I bet he did.
Just sprinting, hanging in the wind.
He left his girl being eaten by a lion.
Yet, Marari was not so lucky. She died at the scene. She received massive lacerations to the stomach, neck, and multiple bloody bruises.
Oh, my God.
Armed with rangers and police, they arrived at the scene to fire a warning shot, but they were way too late for Marari.
The lion had already left?
Yep. The authorities launched a hunt for the man-eater, who the state-controlled newspaper Herald believed is responsible for another mauling, also sex-related. A local man was attacked while walking home from a nightclub. The fact that Marari was killed but not eating may suggest that this lion may just be some sort of lion that just hates people having sex because...
Imagine a place where you spent the night at a nightclub and you're like, see guys later, it's been a great time on a walk home, you know, just like, and you're eaten by a lion on the way home.
I know, we take it for granted because you go...
see you later, Apu, watch out for lions.
I mean, I haven't been to a club in years, but I remember you go to a club in like downtown Orlando and the worst you have to worry about is a homeless guy trying to eat your chips. You leave a club in Zimbabwe, you got to worry about a lion chasing you down and killing you.
Wow, that's amazing.
So this lion, he has a thing about banging people, killing people that are banging. Some sort of like...
This is the pheromones.
Either that they or know. He is like some sort of Christian crusader lion of some sort.
That's right. The Christian crusader lion.
No premarital sex out here in Zimbabwe.
We're live from Leesburg Bike Fest in front of the Blue Island Sportswear on Main Street near 9th, across from the McCracken Pub. Stop by, say hello. We'll be here till 6. And when we return, a lot of talk about libido and you know,
getting it on.
Ladies, I've got a tip for you. If you need a libido boost, it's going to involve a fish. Not the fish itself. Something the fish produces. Then you got to be able to inject it somewhere.
And just take a guess.
Yeah, you can see where this is going. We'll talk about it next. Live from Leesburg Bike Fest, it's the Shannon Burke Show.
Florida Man Radio.
Hey, it's Shannon Burke. If you ever have a water intrusion in your home or your business, you know what I mean? Like, live from the Leesburg Bike Fest. We've been lucky. The weather's been nice.
A great breeze out here.
I mean, it's getting warmer, but we're under a tent, and it's been a nice breeze. At first, I thought we were going to be sweating our nards off out here. But it's very pleasant. Low cash tonight. They start at 9:30 on the Progressive Budweiser stage. I mentioned at some point we'll see Lummy from the Bubba Show. He's supposed to be out here making announcements. And I don't know, I'm not sure when he's coming, but you see Adam Schiff. He went to San Francisco and for a very fancy event. And he rented a car. That's very humanitarian of him. You'd think, you know, big time, big shot, you know, congressman like himself. So he rented a car, had a suit in there, and he parked his rental car in a downtown parking garage. The heist was meant, the Democratic congressman got stuck. He was at a fancy dinner party in his shirt sleeves and a hiking vest. Like, he just walked out of a gay bar. Not quite the look.
Yeah, but he jokes about this way too much, where he could have actually done something where he says, oh, well, you know, welcome to San Francisco, just the way this is. Or you could have gone as a guy that's running for senator and be like, hey, this is what we need to clean up here in San Francisco. Yeah.
Right. I mean, that's what he's running to represent. Welcome to San Francisco. Yeah, this is what, get used to the new normal, folks. Yeah. That's the way it's going to be here. I mean, meanwhile, the smash and grab robberies are just blowing up there in California. One broad daylight jewelry heist got $60,000. Nice. Of those of you that ladies who need a libido kick, thank you. Oh, I need that little doohickey. Yeah. I don't know what's available. There's a drink out there. You can get some hormones. Does goat weed work on the ladies? I don't know.
I mean, they're supposed to be doing that, like a little blue pill for ladies, too.
Well, this is a, they say it's a, you can eat a plate of oysters. That's a natural aphrodisiac, right? There is a new way, if you need to rev up, ladies, your sexual, your drive a bit, and you can get it at a beauty clinic. It's about $800. And what they do is take a needle and inject salmon, the fish, sperm, into the, straight into the vagina. Like, good times. Yeah, good times. I mean, there's a lot of crude jokes I can make about, you know, the smell of lox and things. That, I'm not going to do that. That's a cheap shot.
This is a high-class program.
We are not lowbrow here.
Yeah, we're not heading down to that easy low-hanging fruit.
Apparently, this is already a treatment that it's a wrinkle defier, you know, and ladies get it. So it's like a filler. But
do they tell all their friends, though? It's like, hey, Susan, your lady bits are looking awfully just beautiful, young.
Salmon sperm injections. Yeah, didn't want to have a sudden craving for a bagel and some cream cheese.
Smells like brunch in here.
Well, they say it's very, very powerful effect. If you have a loss of elasticity, I think you know what I mean, ladies. Well, it occurs with age. This is the thing. They call it the O shot. It'll help you have a stronger orgasm, greater sexual arousal. The problem is.
Are you asking where you get the salmon sperm from?
That's where I'm going right now. Salmon sperm. Where does one?
Can you get that at your local fishmonger?
This is going to be medical grade. I don't know that his stuff's going to cut it. I wouldn't buy sushi from him. You know what I mean? It's got to be.
Is there a local dealer that's over there?
Guys, a couple of Chinese guys leaning over a tank, jerking the salmon off. Yeah,
oh, they got more coming right now.
We're running low.
$800.
The results can be seen after 2 to 4 sessions. No one really talks about a needle being injected into a very, I'm sure, sensitive area, but this is not everyday run-of-the-mill pull you out of the water salmon sperm. This sperm is purified and sterilized. And you could get salmon. You could go with the trout. Trout's good, too.
Seems like trout's the down grade, though. Like, the rest of the girls would be sitting around drinking mimosas, and you're like, I just didn't have the money this year, so I went with the trout.
Trout's only $500 for the injection. The salmon is $800, so, for the treatment. Who knew? Who knew? I mean, who was the first one to think? Why don't we eject some fish semen into various parts of the body?
Yeah, what were they doing for that?
I mean, they didn't try human semen first? They didn't that run?
Well, what else did they try? Like, what got to them to this salmon?
Look, you have to be bold in these innovations. This is why the Korean people, they are bold in their innovations. They saw people getting circumcised, little babies, and they're like, oh, what a waste. All this circumcision, all this foreskin is getting tossed in the trash. One guy said, hold on, we make a facial cream. He took those and he made a facial cream out of it, and it sells for hundreds of dollars for a little jar. You put it under there, your bags go away instantly, and you look, it's in your junk.
Come on, Doc, stop just throwing those in the trash. Put them in the foreskin bin.
Yeah, imagine that. I mean, it's resourceful, right?
Yeah.
And
again, though, what did they try before that when they got to that?
I think a guy just looked down. It was a big day in the maternity ward, you know, like a bunch of kids, and they saw a bag full of them. Like, man, this is a total waste here. You know, we just can't let it go to waste. It's got to be good for something. Well, they say it's great if you're 20 years old because you got all the fibroblasts, you got all the collagen, you got the elastin, and your thyroid and your hormones. But when you get to your 40s and 50s and 60s, all that's dying off, and it's better to use something else. It's very safe to inject your vagina. And, you know, I'm sure there's, like, strategic places where it's injected. But, I don't know, ask your...
ask your doctor to see if salmon sperm is right for you.
Before having salmon sperm injected in your vagina, ask your doctor if it's all right.
Side effects include, salmon babies.
Kids with supple skin. They're warning in Journal of Otolaryngology Head and Neck Surgery Journal.
Ooh, was that
Otolaryngology.
That's the February issue?
Yes, the February. You got it. On head and neck surgery. They've shed light on a sinusitis-related video. And that's right, it is a TikTok video. They have found that there is misleading information on the TikToks. Inaccurate content, primarily propagated. Happy hour started.
I see that.
By non-medical influencers. So sinusitis, you know, 1 in 7 adults have it. Various factors, infections, allergies, you know, when your head gets all stuffed. I think Jonathan Norris has it, always. Well, on the TikToks, one TikTok user's base with 2.2 million suggests that you shove a clove of garlic in your nose. And I don't know.
Seems like a terrible idea.
For many, many reasons. I don't know if it's going all the way up into your...
Like, how far do you got to get up there?
And you, is it left there, or is it just that you were smelling it and breathing it?
I mean, are you just popping it, like, right in the... Or you got to get it past the nostril up into the brain a little bit?
Yeah. They say there's a lot of good information on TikTok and a lot of bad information. Maybe very difficult to distinguish between information disseminated by influencers that could actually be harmful. Really? It'd be difficult for me to see a video about, folks, if you have sinusitis, try this. Take a clove of garlic and run it right up in your nose. And think, well, look, that's it's on TikTok. It's got to be, you know.
Yeah, giant TikTok's got 5,000 followers. So I'm going to definitely shove this up in there.
They did a comprehensive search, popular hashtags like hashtag sinus, hashtag sinusitis, to get a broad spectrum. They met a lot of bad stuff. The content of the videos was then categorized like medical advice, comedy, marketing, and lifestyle. Then they evaluated all of them for educational value and factual accuracy. To do so, but and 55.5% of all of them were categories as factual, meaning nearly half contain inaccuracies or misleading content. So that means roughly half of all the stuff that you look at.
Yeah, just don't believe everything on TikTok.
And you're like, hey, that sounds very good for me. I saw it on TikTok. Videos from medical professionals had the highest proportion of factual content, 84%. I don't understand it. I like to hear my motorcycle, not a... What was he listening to? I don't even know.
Keep on rolling.
don't get your medical advice from TikTok. I mean, I would go to... Right? Don't you go to Google or...
You should go to Google either. Go to your doctor.
Or go to that medical...
don't go to WebMD. That's how you get cancer. It's always cancer.
I bet my sister is a doctor in Austin. And so I'm always pestering her. She's very busy. She has twins. They're 6 years old, fraternal twins, that are running her ragged. She works all day at a clinic. And I'll annoy her with, like, I'll send her a picture of my thumb. And I'll look, I'm pretty sure I have thumb cancer. Can you evaluate this and get back to me?
You need to ask her if shoving garlic up on your nose is a viable thing. Like, I'm a little stuffy. Can I just jam one up there?
If you're planning on doing some travel, a couple of places I can help you mark off your list right away. A is Mount Fuji. Don't go there. You can't see it. Yep. The Fujika Wachiko, which is the town that most people go to take that magical picture of Mount Fuji, it's ran that little town ragged. All the people, all the tourists are like, look, we get it. It's a mountain. We see it all the time. We see that. We're sick and tired of looking at this mountain, and we're sick and tired of you coming here to take your pictures with your chubby kids. So they have erected a giant block. It's 8 feet high and 20 meters long at this lookout point, so you can no longer drive your car to this lookout point and take a picture of Mount Fuji.
Ah, we got you.
How bad did the people have to be?
We got you, fat people. Take your baby somewhere else.
And they don't care either. They're like, look, we don't. And they're like, well, don't you want to preserve the view for yourself so the people of Fuji Wachikaro? And look, they said, look, we wish we hadn't been forced to do this, but we've seen enough of that mountain.
I'm going to say, you see Mount Fuji once, you've seen Mount Fuji 1,000 times, they don't care anymore.
Yeah, it's the same thing.
It's a mountain behind them.
Right. They're sick and tired. They've grown to hate the mountain. I lived in the Corona, California for a bit. And I moved out of L.A. I was running a bar out there in Riverside. And I rented a house on a golf course. And every day I looked out my kitchen window. I see the backyard. It's got a little, I got a wrought iron fence on the other side of that. It's a golf course. I got window smashed all the time. I lived there for 6 months. And one day, I come downstairs, and I look through the same kitchen window I've been looking through for 6 months, and I see Mount Baldy.
Never seen it before.
I couldn't see it before. Smog had covered it for 6 months, and it was the what do they call the wind that blows the what do they call those winds? The Santa Ana winds. Yeah. Santa Ana winds come along, and they blow all the smog out, and it's a snow-capped freaking mountain outside of my kitchen window. I'm like, honey, you gotta get down here.
Hurry.
She's like, what's up? I said, there's a mountain. We got a mountain outside. She's like, what are you talking about? I can't explain it to you. There's a mountain here. I don't know if it's new, but It's got snow on it. Also,
they started erecting new mountains around here.
I've never been to Venice, Italy. My brother went, and he was going on a romantic gondola ride with his beautiful wife. They were like wearing the linen suit, you know. They had some wine and grapes, and they're gondoling through. And he looked over the side of the gondola to glance at the water, and when he saw a giant human turd wrapped up with some toilet paper.
Oh, well, this is wrapped up.
Floating by. Yeah. That's the right thing to do.
Lummy's here.
Hey, Lummy. But now, if you want to go to Venice, there's a cover charge. Venice now has a cover charge. If you want to get in there, just to get into the city, you got to pay $10. The first day, they hailed it as a bold experiment. They're sick of tourism, was basically. They said,
yeah,
this over tourism. There's too many tourists here, and we'd like to have our city back.
Which, I don't know. Every time you hear that, then you're going, well, but you're, the only reason people even come to your place is because it's tourism. So the only reason you have a job a lot of times is because of tourism.
Right. That's why you live. Yeah. That's probably the income of 90% of the people that live there. You know, some weird people here. That's awesome. As it seems, I mean, look, it's also surge pricing. Yeah, they only do it on 29 peak days. It only starts at 8:30 in the morning. If you want to get into Venice, get there early.
Yeah, you got to show up a little early.
Yeah. And how long before people go, oh, you going to Venice? No, nobody goes. They're too busy. It's too crowded.
I don't want to throw the $5 cover charge.
And, well, they could use it as a great, to develop tourism. We said, look, here's a card for free cover in Venice. No cover charge.
It's a get into Venice free card.
At the end of the day, you're coming, you're a pasty white guy from Minnesota. You finally went to Italy with your wife, and are you going to go, well, I'm not paying $10 to come into your city, right? The hell, you're gonna pay it and go, because you know.
That's it, Rhonda. You and I aren't going to the gondola anymore. I don't want to pay $5 to get in.
You're picking. This was on you. We're paying.
Get back on the plane.
In Randy's home state of Kentucky, Clark County. Are you familiar with Clark County? Uh huh. Well, the Crystal Coven Mystic Cottage. You familiar with that? You buy your crystals there? Well, it's been accused of witchcraft.
That's a very Kentucky thing to do.
The owner, Shannon Tipton, says, I have a multitude of stones, crystals, jewelry, incense, herbs, spices, and teas. All of the stones are meant for some type of energy protection and energy healing. But on the local message boards, they're calling it straight-up witchcraft. She said, they're trying to say I was a religion. I'm not a religion. I'm just a bit. This woman's selling metaphysical crap.
She's selling crystals.
Hippie stuff. And the uptight Kentucky people, they're like, what, crystals? That must be witchcraft. And then so they go to all the neighborhood apps and all the other community apps, and they post it that Dan Shannon tipped it down there. She's a real live witch.
Yeah, I saw her use crystals and some powders, and she's trying to turn my baby into a Satan spawn.
I saw her bring a squirrel back to life and hit in the middle of the street. The guy said, my name is Dr. Mark Miller. I'm a magistrate of Clark County. I'm here to represent some of my constituents, other Clark County countyans, and their First Amendment right to have their opinion heard. I'm not here to win, but to educate. In no way is anyone trying to say that Crystal Coven needs to close its doors. The business has the right to be open like any other small business, as people in this community have the right to patronize the business if they so choose. The people who object to this and believe that the tourism department should not promote any business that sells witchcraft materials. That's the whole thing. They want the tourism department promoting a business that's selling materials used in witchcraft.
Crystals are like the most dumb metaphysical thing in the world, too.
I had a friend, I probably told this story 100 times. He was a total hippie. I love the guy to death. He was a carpenter. And he was building something for me, a bar. And he took ever, forever and ever. And I would go near and look, what's going on? It just smells like, man, he was rank. And everyone else like, dude, Mikey was really rank. And so like a good friend, I said something to him.
Yeah.
And he got all upset. I said, dude, do you use deodorant? He's like, man, F you. Of course I use deodorant. I'm like, okay, cool. And just look, I'm trying to be your friend.
Yeah.
Weeks later, I'm at his house for a cookout. I go to the bathroom. I shut the door, I do my business, I go to wash my hands, I look at the soap dish, a big rock, and then the soap just a crystal. And I'm like, I lean out the door, I'm like, hey, what's this, what's with this rock in this? He goes, that's my deodorant. And I'm like, oh, now I
there
get it.
There it is.
Now I get it.
This dude's rubbing a rock on his armpits hoping it gets the stink away.
I mean, but it's a little bit of a push to say that a crystal joint is pushing witchcraft.
Yeah, just a touch.
The senior pastor of the Grace Bible Church said, here's the number one thing. I believe anybody has the right to be able to have any business they want to. We're not asking her to change. It's simply saying we just feel like our tourist attractions and things, we didn't feel this necessarily the way we want our community to be perceived with witchcraft.
Pardon me for chiming in, but nobody in Kentucky talks like that.
I don't know about you. I've heard a lot of people in Kentucky sound just like that.
What they're saying and what actually has been said, that I'm a devil worshiping witch, that I'm a satanic shop. None of that is true. I mean, it's not like you go and get your palm read somewhere. Would you stop by and listen to some witchcraft done? Okay, how much would it cost to make my wife? You know,
yeah, I see a lot of crystals here and some like powders. Do you have anything like Eye of Newt or Batwing or things that I can?
How many of these crystals, ma'am, you figure I would need to cast a spell on my neighbor? I mean, I got like $80 on me. What'll that get me?
Yeah, his dog keeps crapping my yard, and I want to do something about it with witchcraft.
Do you have a menu of the witchcraft you offer here? Now it's good people watching out here this time of day. With all of the bad news about Boeing and the Dreamliner, what's it called? Thank you. The 747 Dreamliner, the one that the door's popping off and all kinds of problems.
Toilets are leaking.
Yeah.
Wheels are falling off.
Yeah. Boeing has developed a commercial space vehicle. Anyone feeling safe about that? It's called the Starliner.
Nope, not one bit.
Set for a historic astronaut launch. It's been delayed for years. It's the Starliner capsule, part of NASA's commercial crew program. After a number of years of delays and a bunch of setbacks during test flights, they said that they're going to finally set to make an inaugural crewed launch with people on board. It's going to take off from Florida as soon as May 6th, carrying NASA astronauts to the ISS, marking what would be the historic and long-awaited victory for the beleaguered Starliner program. No, not going.
No, not one bit.
Not.
I'm
I'm sticking.
Last thing I need is door plugs flying off in space.
Yeah, I'm sticking with the SpaceX mission. Design and development, they say, is hard, particularly when it's a human space vehicle, said Mark Knoppe. There's a number of things that were surprises along the way we had to overcome. You know, bolts falling out, you know, mid-flight, doors popping off, stuff like that. But it's going to go. They said they're going to launch when it's ready, and it's ready. No.
Not doing space flight anytime.
Opt out of that.
I don't do airplanes. I'm not doing space flight, especially not on a Boeing.
Does it say Boeing anywhere on it?
I'm sure. All over the place.
Yeah, I'm not. When their own employees say they won't get on a certain plane, I'm not getting on the a spaceship. Oh. All right. We're gonna take a break. Columbia does not want to buy United States beef anymore. Matter of fact, a South American company.
Yeah, a South American country is telling us they don't want to buy our beef now.
Right. You know why? Because our beef is bad. It could have bird flu in it. Well, when we return, I believe Movie Man Mike will join us for Miss Palatial Lair in Ocala, Florida. Stick around. It's the Shannon Burke Show.
Florida Man Radio.
Hey, it's Shannon Burke. Skips. Skips is a name that everybody knows in Central Florida. It is app. Movie Man Mike joins us. Read his reviews in the Newsmax magazine, the Federalist.com, and Epic Times. Mike, how are you?
Doing great, buddy. How's Leesburg?
It's wonderful. I'd flip the laptop around and you can see there's just rows and rows, hundreds and hundreds and thousands of bikes lined up, parked in the middle of the street, on the side of the street. It's just awesome. Beautiful.
Very good. I wish I was there.
Yeah, it's nice.
Just a bit of news here at the beginning. Civil War, to everyone's surprise, number one in its second weekend last weekend.
I got to see it this weekend.
Yeah, it's a phenomenal movie, and it's still being misunderstood. Easy and I talked about it last week.
What do you mean it's misunderstood? What do you mean by that?
People are thinking that it's anti-Trump, and my takeaway was that it was pro-Trump. And it's the kind of movie you're going to take away what you have going in. So it doesn't give you easy answers, and it's not a war movie. It's about war correspondence and war photojournalists.
All right. Well,
it's not a big action movie.
Do you like it more now?
I've seen it twice, and oh, really? I liked it more the second time, and picked up more on it the second time. So,
wow.
Yeah, right. I loved it.
I'll go see it.
If you want a real action movie, you need to see Boy Kills World. It starts today, and it stars Bill Skarsgård. You may remember him as Pennywise in the It movies. He was also in the most recent John Wick movie as the principal villain. He's going to be seen later this summer in The Crow, the remake of the Brandon Lee movie. And in Nosferatu, a remake of the original vampire movie from 1922. In this movie, he plays an orphan child who is deaf, and he's mute. And the only time you hear him speak is through his internal dialogue.
Huh. Cool.
With a guy whose voice sounds a lot like Shannon Burke.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Huh.
So
I'll be able to hear it from my lawyer.
Yeah. He goes in kicking ass and taking names. He goes into a room and kills five people with a cheese grater.
Oh, my God. That sounds like a very violent movie.
And very violent. And, again, he was in John Wick. It looks a lot like a John Wick movie or Kung Fu, the TV series. Kill Bill.
Wait, it looks like Kung Fu, the TV series?
Yeah, there's stuff in it that resembles stuff that went on in Kung Fu, like the guy studying underneath an Asian master.
All right.
And Kill Bill, too. So, and a lot of critics are poo-pooing it, saying it's too disrespectful and it's too silly. Well, that's what I want from a damn action movie. I want silly. I want overblown. I want blood and guts and violence. And this gives it to you in spades. It's a little too long. Played a little too long. It could have been, it was like it's hour 50. It could have been hour 30 and been perfect. I guarantee you they're going to make another one of these. Four out of five for me. 61% with critics and 60% with audiences so far. A movie I did not see that's getting a lot of ink. It's called Challengers. And this is a sports movie, a tennis movie. And a three-way love affair between a female and two male tennis professionals.
A female and two male what?
Tennis professionals.
Okay. I get it.
And, again, I didn't see it. They changed the screening date, so I couldn't go. But a lot of people are just creaming all over this thing. And the trailer suggests that there's some male-on-male sex.
Uh-huh.
So, right away, I'm like, I don't think this is going to be something that my audience is really interested in. But I bring it up because it's got Zendaya, the mono-named actress, very exotic looking.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Very sexy woman.
Is she a tennis pro or a tennis player?
Yeah, she plays a tennis pro in the movie. So, but it's made by an Italian director who is gay, very gay, and all of his movies.
You're either
gay
or you're not gay. It's not like you can be kind of gay and then very gay and then super gay. That's right. It's
okay, he's super gay.
You're saying he's flamboyant, is what he's saying.
Well, right. And every movie he's made in the past 10 years has some element of gayness to it.
Okay. All right.
So But hey, I'm sure Larry the Liberal will love it. One movie I did see that does have some lesbian sex in it.
All right, called now we're talking.
Battle of the Sexes. This is from 2017 with Emma Stone as Billie Jean King and Steve Carell as Bobby Riggs. You remember, yep. Maybe you were too young to remember this.
No, I remember it.
They had a challenge match in the 70s where she kicked his ass. And this is everything leading up to the actual event.
You see where Emma Stone doesn't want to be Emma anymore? She wants to go back to her real name, which is Emily?
That's a bad idea.
I agree.
That's a bad idea. Yeah. She's got a brand name. And you know she's actually a natural blonde? Did you know that?
Yes.
Yeah, easy to know it. Yeah. Carpet matches the drapes.
But you can see Battle of the Sexes, again, with lots of hot lesbian action.
She's too pretty to be. She's too pretty to be Billie Jean King, I think.
Actually, you know, I thought Billie Jean King was kind of sexy in her day.
All right.
I thought she was okay.
Okay.
Well,
and people give me a bad time for having a thing for Sigourney Weaver.
I never give you a bad time. When she was young, she was hot.
Mm. I'd take her to dinner tonight.
Yeah.
If Kim would let me.
Another movie that starts today is called Nowhere Special, and that's a terrible title for a very special movie. It's been in the can for over 4 years, and it's just getting released this weekend. And it's about a single father in Ireland who is going to be dead within, like, 6 weeks.
From what?
They never tell you, and it doesn't matter. He's just got a terminal illness, and he's got, like, a 5-year-old toddler son trying to find parents for him. It's a superb movie. It doesn't get maudlin or sentimental like a movie like that might. Like if it was made by the Hallmark Channel, there'd be strings and
right.
All kinds of overswelling music, but it's not. It's very well done, very low key. You gotta think about this. If you're a single parent and you know you're gonna die, you're gonna go all the way possible to find the best home for your son.
Right. And, oh, that's a. It's finding a place for his son to live or someone to live with when he's dead?
To adopt him.
Oh, man.
Yeah, to adopt him. The mother's not in the picture. He doesn't have any living relatives, so he has to find a stranger with the help from a social worker. And again, this might sound like a downer movie.
Sure does.
But it makes you feel better about your fellow man, okay? So. In that sense, I really liked it a lot. Have you ever heard of a country singer named Rebecca St. James?
No, I can't.
Or a band called For King and Country?
No.
All right. Well, these are the progeny of a husband and wife who, in 1991, moved from Australia to Nashville. He was a promoter in Australia and lost his shirt on a really bad tour performed by Amy Grant. They couldn't sell it out, and he lost a lot of money. So they go to Nashville to start over. And it doesn't show a lot of what's going on with the present-day kids. It shows how they brought up and how they got some breaks. And again, it's kind of along the lines of an Angel Studios film. Christianity is on the back burner. It's not up in your face. It's kind of like a thread that sews parts of the movie together. It's really about this family getting it together from nothing and then making the most out of it. It's a great film. And of course, the critics are poo-pooing all over it at 59%. I'm at 4 out of 5, and the audience, surprise, is at 100%.
Wow.
So, this is called Unsung Hero, and it starts in theaters today. You and Easy mentioned this, I believe, on Monday about a docuseries on HBO called Quiet on Set, The Dark Side.
I'm currently watching it right now. I'm 2-3 episodes in.
Yeah.
Horrifying.
Well, and you talk about something that's depressing. This guy named Dan Schneider.
Yeah.
Schneider, rather, who should not be confused with Dan Snyder, the POS former owner of the Washington Redskins. And this guy pretty much ran Nickelodeon Studios in the 90s and the 2000s. And this guy was a pedophile. He turned all of these, you know, innocent little shows into toxic sets.
When you see some of the stuff that was shown to kids, and I, you know, you may not have seen it as a parent while your child was watching it, but you see some of, I mean, you see like wad in the face shots on little kids that are supposed to implicate that. All of these other, you know, a cucumber through a glory hole. I mean, it is really sick.
It is. And, you know, a kid's not going to pick up on that, but adults will. And I remember my sister was using Nickelodeon. Well, not my sister. Some of her friends were using it as kind of an electric pacifier. Like,
right.
Put the kid down in front of the TV and let them go, and they don't have to pay them no mind. But the amount of victims that he left in his wake, it completely ruined the career of Amanda Bynes. And it's illuminating in a disgusting way.
And he got canned, did some time, and then Disney hired him. Okay,
and then Disney hired him.
That's the right guy for us. Yeah.
How ironic is that?
It is awful, awful. It's a terrible, a sad, sad series, but it's very interesting. I recommend everybody watch it.
Yeah, 4 out of 5 for me, 100% with critics, 77% with audiences, and that is on HBO. A new documentary. I love that ambient background.
Yeah.
It's great. Secrets of the Octopus. This is a fantastic three-part docuseries on Hulu and Disney. It's produced by James Cameron and narrated by Paul Rudd. And I got to tell you, I think this octopus is the most intelligent being on the face of the planet. It has 3 times the brain capacity of humans. They're loners for most of their life. They can change color in a fifth of a second, which is very impressive because they're colorblind.
They're amazing.
And it's busted up into 3 parts, and just amazing. 300 different species of this animal, and 5 of them are profiled. And again, that's called Secrets of the Octopus.
And it's on Prime?
It's on Hulu and Disney. Hulu and Disney. Under the Bridge, and this stars Riley Keough, Elvis's granddaughter, who was featured in Sasquatch Sunset, unrecognizable. But she plays a writer who's investigating the murder of a Canadian girl who was, I believe, of Indian descent, Eastern Indian. And Lily Gladstone, who was the nominated actress from Killers of the Flower Moon, plays a cop trying to help her find this murder victim. And again, it's a...
Murder victim?
Murder victim, yeah. This teenage girl that was murdered because she was unattractive and kind of dumpy, and she was from a foreign country. That's why they killed her.
Wow.
Really sad. And it reminded me a lot of the most recent season of True Detective with Jodie Foster. So you like that last season of True Detective... And you like Riley Keough? I mean, this girl, you know, she did have a leg up. I mean, her mother was Lisa Marie, her father was Elvis, her grandfather was Elvis. So, you know, she did get a foot in the door, but she's taking advantage of it, and she's taking some really big acting chances.
She dressed up as a Sasquatch family member, right?
Yes, she's a Sasquatch family member. And again, this is called Under the Bridge. And this is on Hulu. The last original title we have this week, and I wasn't really sure I wanted to include this, but you all were talking earlier in the week about students now and how we have the lowest IQ in history.
Yeah.
And they have children who can't even write cursive or hold a pen correctly.
Can't sign their names.
Yeah, and this is a drama that's set in the 90s in Chicago. And 2 kids who are, you know, trying to do the right thing, or trying to avoid getting into gangs. And of course, they can't resist it. And it's called We Grown Now.
What? We? Lee?
We Grown Now.
We Grown Now.
We Grown Now.
Great.
Well, why don't you just say, we are grown now? Well,
no,
you
we
can't
grown.
Do that.
We grown.
We grown now. It's just bastardizing the English language. They speak in Ebonics a great deal of the time. And they're giving credence, and they're romanticizing poverty and crime and illiteracy. But of course, the critics love that because, you know, that's America.
Yeah.
That's how we're disadvantaging these minorities, and we got to paint it as it is. All right, fine, you do that. I hated it. 1 out of 5 stars.
Ooh.
96% with critics. Nothing yet from audiences, and that is in theaters. It's called We Grown Now.
Ugh.
I'm a little bit late on this one. OJ died, 10 days ago?
Something like that.
And there are two movies. One's a documentary, and one is a regular drama, both multiple episode series. And they both came out in 2016. The first one that I didn't care for as much, but still liked it, was American Crime Story, The People versus O.J. Simpson.
Is that the one with Cuba Gooding Jr.?
Yeah, and that's my big problem with it. Cuba Gooding Jr., who doesn't look anything like O.J. Simpson.
Yeah, he's like a foot shorter.
Yeah, and he probably weighs $150 wet, you know? And there's so many people they could have gotten for that part. I mean, Idris Elba would have been the perfect choice.
Yeah.
And then they have David Schwimmer playing
Kardashian.
That's
convincing.
No, it's not.
He looks like him.
Yeah, they put a little silver wing, a Polly Walnut silver wing on him.
I remember that, yeah.
But the woman who played Marcia Clark, Sarah Paulson, she was great. She got an Emmy out of it. Her date for that night was the attorney, Clark, Marcia Clark. And other than those terrible top casting choices, it was well done. But again, this only examines the murder and the trial. That's it. Nothing else. You don't know anything else about Simpson beyond that. Much better is, again, out in 2016. It's called OJ Made in America. And this is a straight-ahead documentary, 5 parts, 7 hours.
Ooh.
You're like, that's overkill. I can't do 7 hours of OJ. It deserves every second. It there's not a film, frame wasted. The first episode covers his life from birth all the way up through his time at USC. And you're looking at this and you go, this guy has the world by its ass.
Yeah.
You know, he's good looking. He's got a bright future ahead of him. He's got a wife and kids. And he was pissed off that he had to go to Buffalo.
Oh, he was.
Which I can understand. If you were grew up in
it's
California,
cold there. Yeah, yeah.
Would you want to play in Buffalo?
No.
Yeah.
It's way too cold. So. Who played? It's totally a documentary, so there's no...
Yeah, totally a documentary, and it covers his film career, the movie he made, Capricorn One, the Naked Gun series, which is being rebooted.
Do either one of these, in your opinion, cast an opinion whether or not he's guilty?
Oh, both of them, yeah.
Oh, they
absolutely.
Do?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, you'd have to be a moron to think that this guy didn't do it.
Right.
And you were talking, I think you mentioned this with something else, where his lawyer, Cochran, told him not to take his arthritis medicine.
Yeah, his blood pressure medicine.
Yeah, they said in the movie it was arthritis.
Either or, whatever caused him to swell up a little bit.
Right, it would cause his hands to swell up. So here you have his hands that are already swollen, and he puts on a latex glove on top of it.
To protect the evidence.
And he tries to put it in a glove that is constricted by dried blood.
And fur. The inside of that glove was fur, I believe.
The inside of the glove could have been
I don't know.
Fur. But the biggest piece of evidence were these shoes that he had, these Italian shoes.
Bruno Mollis.
Oh, good memory there.
Yeah.
And they only sold like 800 pairs of these shoes in the States. And only a dozen in his size. And they show him walking on the sidelines as an NFL commentator wearing these shoes. That was the most damning piece of evidence, I think.
The shoes?
But I found it highly entertaining. I hadn't seen it. And it won the Oscar for Best Documentary, which is kind of hard to do for something that only played in theaters in L.A. and New York for a week, and it's 7 hours long.
Wow.
It is,
wait,
it
was in theaters? How could it be in theaters?
Well, in order to be eligible to win an Oscar, a movie has to play... Previously, it was Los Angeles County. It had to play in Los Angeles County for a week prior to the end of the year. But they've expanded that. Now it can be in Dallas, in Chicago, New York, and Atlanta. So if you have a movie and you want it to qualify for Oscars, it has to show in one of those cities
from at least start, a week. From start to finish? Seven yes. hours of it? Like,
yeah.
In a row?
Yeah, well, I'm sure they put in intermission or two, but yeah, so
interesting.
I can't recommend this thing highly enough, and it's on Netflix. It's on Netflix, so you don't have any reason not to watch.
Yeah. I'm gonna check it out.
Next week we have three interesting titles. One is called "The Idea of You," where Anne Hathaway plays a 40-year-old single mom who falls in love with a 23-year-old boy band singer.
Oh, that sounds hot.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea that it's not the other way around.
Right.
If it was the other way around, we might have a problem. But I dig Anne Hathaway.
Oh, me too. Me too.
And then there's going to be a Jerry Seinfeld movie on Netflix called Unfrosted.
Unfrosted.
And this is Seinfeld's first movie as a director.
Oh, okay.
And it's about the invention of the Pop-Tart.
Oh, my God.
And that's a perfect kind of movie for Seinfeld. Yeah. For a guy who made billions of dollars in a show about nothing, he's going to do a movie about virtually nothing.
A major film house has picked this up, a major studio?
No, it's Netflix.
Oh, okay.
Netflix.
They're a major studio these days, more or less.
Yeah, they are. And again, they have the onus. They have to show movies like that. And Seinfeld, this movie is going to be playing in New York and L.A. starting next week for a week. So it can qualify for Oscars, although I don't think this movie is going to be in danger of being considered for Oscars.
I think it's an odd choice for him.
Yeah, well.
But, you know, he's a billionaire, and what is he going to do?
He's got a lot of FU money, and he's not working. And oh, in the movie, Bill Burr plays JFK.
Why would there be a need for a JFK in a movie about Pop-Tarts?
Who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows why? I mean, they started Post and Kellogg with rival cereal companies, and they got together to make this new Pop-Tart item jointly, and why not throw in JFK?
The timing of his presidency probably has something to do with it.
That might not hurt. And you can see Burr in the trailer for the movie. I mean, he's only in it for like 6 or 7 seconds, but he's doing JFK.
That's awesome.
And the movie next week is The Fall Guy, the remake of the TV series with Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt.
From the Lee Majors Fall Guy?
Yeah, the Lee Majors movie, and Ryan Gosling plays the Majors character, and Emily Blunt plays that girl. Oh, what was her name? She was so hot. Heather Thomas.
Yes. All right.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, brother. Read Mike's reviews, Mike Clark's reviews in Newsmax magazine at thefederalist.com and at Epic Times as well, and here on The Shannon Burke Show. Mike, I appreciate it, brother. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, bro. You do the same.
See
Thank you,
buddy.
Bye.
All right. Let me get out of here. Things are picking up out here. When we return, I imagine we've got a lot of remarks to get to because our schedule was so sketchy. We'll get right to them. Stick around. It's the Shannon Burke Show.
Florida Man Radio.
The Don Miller Show.
Driving in the middle of the night and you're drunk.
Her name.
Store near you. Crack pipe store near you. It's bad enough you gave.
wasn't as bad as you, yeah, yeah. I don't understand how lips like you, how can they like you? Can't believe people just can't see the truth. How can they see the truth? They killing us right in front of our face like it's cool, yeah, yeah.
Live from Leesburg Bike Fest, the Shannon Burke Show. We'll be around here much longer. Lummy's out here, though. Lummy will be at the main stage, the Progressive Budweiser stage. Low Cash there tonight. He'll be introducing them. He's here with his lovely family. I want to give a special thank you to Elliot at Blue Island Sportswear. It's his hospitality that provided this outlet for us, the space, the all the connections, all the stuff we needed. Great people. Blue Island Sportswear. Stop in and say hello to those guys at the end of May. We got to get to these to the remarks. So there's a buttload of them from the Florida Man Radio app, and powered by Morris Family Farms and Organic Meats. The app is a way to, if you don't know the show, you're just getting into it, you can familiarize yourself with tons of archives there, podcasts, commercial free of this program and Don's. Bubba's got his own thing going. You can call the show, text the show from there, hit the little button at the bottom, and leave us a 30-second message. Here we go. You don't have to use the whole 30 seconds. If you're like 8 seconds in, you made your point. Well, I don't need to know anything else. Just let go of the button.
Yeah, just don't go.
Yeah, and then also, I won't tell you about, oh, no, wait a second. All right, here we go.
I really don't know who's still really listening to Howard Stern. I've got a lifetime SiriusXM subscription, and I only listen to, like, music and hockey games on it. Like, does anybody even take that guy seriously?
We have Sirius, and we use it to listen to mainly 80s wave music.
Quality radio broadcast, gentlemen. Maybe next week you guys can do an episode from the middle of I-4. Bet that'll sound awesome, too.
I had a doctor that was his first diagnosis. Didn't matter what you were in there for. Hey, doc, I got a hangnail. Well, why don't you lose about 40 pounds? We'll see what that does for your hangnail. Never bothered me. I never lost the weight either. Beep-a-beep-a.
I think that guy that said that this was not quality radio is triggered by all the motorcycle sounds. I know. They're large and scary, sir. We'll be all right. Okay. Can't hear you? That's all right.
So if somebody's sending me a message that starts with hey or hi, doesn't bother me. And I'm Gen X, by the way. However, I do feel there should be some self-consideration regarding etiquette. I generally start my messages off with hope all is well, and then ask what I need to ask. Beedoo, beedoo.
So wait, he said that hey was okay with him, but he prefers something more proper.
Well, more like just don't put hey and leave it there.
Well, the hey's in the subject line, you know, because you know you just want them to open the email or whatever. It's just like it's hey. It could be hey, mom died, or it could be hey, big layoffs coming, or it could be hey, we're giving you a raise.
You went two of three of bad stuff.
Right. Some could be bad. Here we go.
Sorry, man, I wasn't paying attention. Did somebody say dildos and love oil? I'm all in, man.
Happy Harley Friday, guys. Fred Thunder, Fort Walton Beach. And just so you know, the cabinet above the refrigerator is for light bulbs. Light bulbs only. And there you have it. Love the show, guys and gals.
I used to
have a great weekend.
I used to go climb around up on the countertop at my mom's. I'd just find out what the hell was in there. All kind of stuff I'd never seen before.
Man, I'll tell you who's pumped about the condom for, you know, just in case wearing and works on a flaccid penis. The dudes who are pumped about that are these guys that ride their bikes and like they're outside with a mask on by themselves. I've always envisioned they've got one on just in case, you know what I mean? Like, so it's a perfect fit. They have flaccid penis all the time. Now they got a solution for it. So I'm happy for them dudes.
That's worth it.
What's up, guys? Right here. Come on. New York City is safe. New York City, downtown Manhattan, you're good to go. I would suggest, since you're of the white persuasion, to stay out of Brooklyn and stay out of the Bronx. But Manhattan, downtown, Lower East Side, you should be good, man. You shouldn't have a problem. Love you guys. Great show.
Is Ray Ray, white man or what? What is Ray Ray? We've met
he's
Ray.
Hispanic.
Right?
He's Caucasian.
But a Hispanic Caucasian.
That I don't know.
Just like I'm a Hispanic Caucasian.
Right.
Man, I want to go see that John Hinckley dude and get front row and wear my Ronald Reagan shirt where it says, shut up, hippie, and just stare at the guy the whole time. That'd be awesome.
I used to have a shirt that said, hippie smell, some gag shirt somebody sent me. And I got on the elevator with a young promotions director at a radio company I worked with. She goes, I'm a hippie. She's like 28. I'm like, no.
She should have said, well, that's what that smell is.
I'll be right to HR.
Hey, Shannon, you might want to rethink the words that you use when you describe your Morris family meats. Because I don't think I want to eat anything that Jonathan has hacked up.
I've been hacking with a knife.
Hey, guys. Well, I don't think of myself as a prude, but a cucumber in your mouth? What the hell? I don't know. Anyway.
Don't knock it.
I like the fact that Mary thinks she's a bit of a freak, too.
Yeah.
Hey, fellas. This is Pat from Florella, Alabama. Just wanted to tell y'all was talking about the rough ways to go and how you want to go. I tell you what, I'd like to go in my sleep like my neighbor did. Not kicking and screaming like the passengers in his car. Y'all take care of yourselves and have a good weekend.
That guy on this 12-hour 6 marathon, he was playing Dumb Ways to Die or some crap like that. Crazy. Oh, by the way, Viagra not only turns their eyesight blue, it gives you x-ray vision. Yeah, they call it a blueprint.
Shannon, the whole blue tint thing is real. I take one every once in a while, 100 milligrams, and it does. It tints everything blue. I was tripping.
100 milligrams sounds like a lot for a Viagra.
Sure
milligram.
Does. Are they come in a smaller pill? And then you, is that when you know that it's time to head back to the bedroom? Like, oh, blink, everything's blue.
Yeah, it's boner time.
That is, I told you that is a real deal.
Hey, Niz the guy. I know it's not a lion story, but the wife and I were at a big barn party up in Vermont 100 years ago. Anyways, so it was the darkest night of the year. We're driving down the road, and there is just this stumbling drunk guy walking down the side of the road. We went a little further and saw like 100 geese standing on the side of the road. Have you ever startled geese at night? I'm still laughing my butt.
Geese can be very aggressive.
Salmon sperm injections? Crap. My wife's an animal freak, and we found a hurt skunk on the side of the road and told her I'd take it to the hospital for her and told her to put it in a lap. She said, what about the smell? And I said, well, hold it.
I know where that was going.
My wife was injected with salmon sperm. We've had several kids, no problems. They're all excellent swimmers, though.
Shendo, you're missing the punch. Set it up. Somebody needs to come by there with the right Harley, sounding just the right way, and hit the start button on their program phone radio to start the beginning of Hot for Teacher Van Halen. And let it rumble in the same timing. I know you can make this happen. You're missing.
All
Hey, guys. Well, I think it would probably be worth it just to see the expression on his face if I asked my OBGYN if he thinks I should inject salmon sperm. I think I'm going to have to try that just to see his reaction. Great show. Love you guys. Be-do-be-do.
Lady here with a monkey.
Can we get a monkey?
I don't want the monkey, no. I don't want the monkey anywhere near me. They're dirty animals.
Hey, what's up, Shando?
Who's this?
Easy, brother.
Who?
Sparky352. Man, dude, I had an apartment right there in downtown Leesburg for 3 years, man. A few years back, I used to go to Bike Fest every week, every year, and I loved it. You guys got a good seat in the house. And by the way, Easy, if the roofing couple would have been doing it reverse prairie dog style, facing up the slope, they wouldn't have fell off that roof.
Just saying. Prairie dog.
Be do be do, guys.
What's really good? Reverse cowboy. Cowgirl.
I'll have to do some math on that one.
We got no food. We got no jobs. Our airplanes' bolts are falling out.
Boeing should start building submarines and taking people down to see the Titanic.
We got you.
Howdy, guys. Nate in Bakersfield, California. Great show. Yeah, funny, kept it light, all that good crap. But I wanted to congratulate Shannon on the greatest feat of restraint that I have ever witnessed or heard in my life. Because I can almost guarantee that in your head you were MFing every single one of those guys that was blasting their sound system in the background. So that was awesome. Congratulations.
Especially the one guy that saw the microphones up and just hit the throttle in neutral right in front of us. Blah, blew it up. Whatever.
Yesterday's show crew checking in. You guys are talking about the 47 gigawatts of solar power in California. And, I mean, if it only takes 1.21 gigawatts to make a DeLorean time travel, that's like 39 missed opportunities to travel in time. I find that a wasteful use of power. So, you know, I hate to do it, but I got to go set up a tent somewhere and protest because this is ridiculous.
You're right.
Yeah, but you have the chance to sleep with your mom, so you got to watch out for that.
Hey, movie man Mike. Bobby Riggs threw that match because he bet it on Billie Jean. Be-do-be-do. Hey, Shannon. Get out of the 70s. Beef tallow, lard, and butter are the healthiest things you can eat. Be-do-be-do.
Lard is the best thing for your blood flow. I'm not saying it's not healthy, but I'm saying, you know, when your mom fried everything in lard and you ate a bunch of fried foods all the time, it's not healthy.
Yeah, there's a difference between using that for frying instead of using processed foods, which is worse for you.
Right.
But it's also not a brilliant idea to just be eating large scoops of lard.
The way you said lard is healthy is how people in Kentucky talk.
Lard is healthy. Yeah.
If I get that salmon semen injected into my hoo-ha, will I have little salmon babies?
Well, the jury's still out on that, I think.
Yeah, but it should be super tight.
Here you go, Shando. If you don't want to do it on your own bike and your speakers are loud enough for people to hear there where you are, turn them up and put on Van Halen.
Okay.
Thank you.
Hope you guys have a great weekend. I love this show so much. And just remember to take care of each other. My mom's back in the hospital with severe pain, and they're giving her morphine right now, and you just don't ever know what's going on. So reach out and love each other. I'll see you on Monday. Listening for you on Monday, I mean.
Thank you.
Also, I love Pop-Tarts, especially those cinnamon frosted ones.
I mean, they're horrible for you health-wise, right?
No, the guy said stop living in the 70s.
Oh, you're Pop-Tarts. Right. Yeah. Covered in lard and butter.
Tommy Lee made a mistake when he married Heather Locklear because he did an interview with Hit Parade or Rolling Stone.
Why is
and
this?
He really wanted to marry Heather Thomas.
Did I hear that right, that Bill Burr's going to play JFK in a Pop-Tart movie? I can see it now. Hopefully he'll throw in some of the Philadelphia incident in there. I want the Liberty Bell to fall down and land on your kids' era, as it were.
Hey, Shannon, Richard from Crestview. Great show, as always. Just want to say I really admire... I've listened to you ever since the Bubba days, but I really admire your and Bubba's friendship. Just shows how too good of people y'all really are. Thank you so much. Beedoo-beedoo.
We have a bromance, Bubba and I. Really, I mean, he's old school guy. And if you have somebody that's into your industry, especially a weird industry like this, and you can get them to just to say what, a lot of people don't want to, well, I don't know why they say that. Bob will say it. Yeah, he doesn't give a damn.
Not one bit.
Not at all. He's going to let it fly.
Hey, awesome from Tampa. Hey, Leesburg Bike Fest is a festival, baby. Y'all should be out here. If you're not out here, enjoy the Florida Man Radio. Man, you guys are missing out. Hey, when they're talking about those immigrants getting shot by those rubber bullets and stuff at the border, hey, that makes me want to become a border agent just to go over there and have some fun and stuff. Hey, free money.
They're shooting paintballs from souped-up paintball guns at the border to illegals that are...
Not just paintball, pepper balls.
Pepper ball, yeah. Pepper ball spray. Thousands and thousands and thousands of them they have. Plenty. That's the one thing I think, if I had that gun, that I'd want to have more, once you run out, there's no more fun to be had.
We fall asleep, Bilbo.
All right. Jesus.
Hey, guys, T-Bone from Atlanta. Hope y'all are doing well. Funniest thing I've seen on the side of the road was a big old brown dildo right in the middle of an intersection. Don't know who lost it. Don't really want to know, but by God, big old sumbitch right in the middle of the road. Ha! Be-do-be-do.
You always want to know the story of that. Like, how did it get to that point in its life?
Yeah, how did it? Someone got pissed and threw it out of the car. Like, damn you.
It was some guy like, this is the last straw.
You spend more time with this brown dildo than me.
Throw it out the window.
Hey, there's the guy number two. Yeah, the end of that story with all the geese. We laughed our butts off, and can you imagine what happened to that poor guy? Beedoo-beedoo.
So the part one of that came about 20 minutes ago.
And he got around to it.
I was like, I got one more. Hold on. I realize it's Friday and it's happy hour. Just be careful. Who else is the happy hour?
Maddie's been going on since 12, so.
Oh, he's out.
Yeah.
Maddie's out. He called already half drunk on cheap vodka at 2 o'clock.
Which was 11 o'clock because he's on the West Coast.
On a Friday.
Yeah.
I mean,
if you're going to do it on a Friday, Friday's the day to do it.
Well, I mean, if you have nothing to do all day.
But, Maddie, please be safe, because we know you. We're going to hear a story on Monday how he has a giant scar where he has to get stitched up because he went to the hospital.
He fell trying to walk out by the pool or whatever, and then tripped and dislocated his knee, and now he's got to have surgery. And...
Hey, Shannon. I love you, man. We're like brothers.
Hey, Shannon. I heard they got those pepper ball snipers set up on the hillside. They got the ghillie suits on and everything. And they just pop them right in the face with them.
See, that's something that, we talk about our recruiting numbers being down. And, there's not a whole lot going on in the world today in terms of getting some action in. But, if you wanted to recruit border people or border patrol people, I mean, that's the key right there. Yeah. Look at this. Look at these guys having a blast picking off illegals on a train.
Give them something fun to do.
With pepper balls. Maybe you develop a scoring system. I can't imagine that aren't people absolutely screaming their ass off about this.
They're running to it.
There's a little Manuel is up there with his father, and he's picked off by a couple of pepper balls.
What part of Atlanta was that dildo in? I've been looking for that thing. Beedoo-beedoo.
God.
Okay, breaking the rules, nasal guy number three.
Where's the ski story going?
You don't know how fast you can get drunk. Beedoo-beedoo. Love y'all. Hi, Double H.
The last.
Hi, Easy. Yeah.
All right.
Be safe, Diz.
You don't need to use it all.
Yeah.
That's the. If I find myself intoxicated, I'm around the house. I'm not talking on the phone.
No.
Or picking up the phone. Or, you know, I'm going to leave it to the slurring to.
Usually, because if I'm that intoxicated, I'm staring at the phone, going, "Who am I supposed to be calling?"
Yeah, the guitarist from Trickster. He was really.
Sorry, I didn't say it. Hi, Shannon.
Oh, my God.
T-Bone, one more time. The intersection of Canton Road and Sandy Plains. Be-doo-be-doo.
Get your old dildo. It's still there.
Lay it in the middle of the street. Come on down and grab it. Those are the remarks for today's program. We simply are elated that you took the time to leave it. We do it twice a day. Hit the app up and... call the show, text the show, and leave a remark for us to enjoy. Randy, thank you very much, brother. We always have peace of mind when Randy's here. When I get to a remote, normally, you know, but before we Randy was involved, it was like you or I setting up things. We're you know, then you're not on the air, then you're on the air, and then blah blah blah. And it can be very, very stressful.
Yeah, because you open up the box and half the stuff's supposed to be in there is not in there. So I'm digging through my bag trying to figure out what plugs into that so I can get to work.
It is beyond wonderful to have somebody that I just get here and set my stuff down.
Yeah, that's nice.
And start getting ready. I don't have to worry about any of that stuff. And Randy's got it covered. Keeps us going, keeps us on the air. Special thanks to Elliot here at Blue Island Sportswear. This is the nicest guy ever. Super sweet. Opened up his place to us, gave us some internet and some electricity, and let us use his restroom. It's a nice place. If you want to get some custom stuff printed, they do it right here on site. Maggie Lydon, I don't know what she's doing. I mean, who she works for. She used to work for us. She played the guitar at my wedding 11 years ago and sang a little song, I think. I was busy at the time. But she's running the Leesburg Bike Fest. She's done an amazing job. Lummy is here tonight. Don't forget, at the main stage, Low Cash, in hours from now. You'll get a chance to see Lummy from the Bubba Show. He was standing behind me a minute ago in the break, and I said, "Hey, maybe come sit on the air with us." He goes, "No." I said, "You know how Bubba is." "Well, buddy, you think you're such a big star? Now you're a Shannon Burke Show. You think you're so big? You didn't even ask my permission, buddy." And that's exactly what it would be.
Yep.
We both know him too well. So, but come out to Leesburg Bike Fest tonight and catch Low Cash. Tomorrow is
Sugar Ray,
which is a big deal as well.
And Sunday, Frankie Ballard.
Frankie Ballard, not to be confused with Frankie Valli.
Heather was so excited.
That's my mother's favorite.
Hey, I liked him too.
Frankie Valli?
Yeah.
He was in The Sopranos, you know.
Is he still alive?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
I'm just making sure.
Oh, yeah, I think he is, right? We'll let you know when we get back from this break. All right, we'll take our final break. I come back to wrap it up for you. Stick around. It's a Shannon Burke Show.
Florida Man Radio.
Hey, Central Florida. It's Jesse Kelly. It's only right for my home to be right.
Sugar Ray
tomorrow. All weekend long out here. I want to thank Elliot at the Blue Island Sportswear again. Guys have been great. Great hospitality. Randy, obviously, thank you, brother. You'd think that you used to go to a restaurant and bar, and up front with the mints and the toothpicks and the and this, there were matches. You grab some matches. A lot of people smoked back then, and a lot of them these restaurants and bars would go to great lengths to make them elaborate and beautiful in different boxes, maybe a little round thing or whatever. But those went away. But now they're making a huge comeback because, like your aunt used to have all the restaurants, you know, in a giant bowl by the door, local, all these matches. She didn't smoke. She didn't, you know, they're just matches in there. They're coming back big time because people are collecting them even though they don't smoke.
Oh, I mean, if you get a matchstick book that's not been, like, one of them pulled out,
right,
struck at all, yeah, they're worth a lot of money.
I have a matchbook with all the matches in it from the Cotton Club, New York City, back in the 20s. People are collecting them. It's big on TikTok. Most of them are non-smokers, and when matches were dying out, there's a brand new interest in them, and restaurants are finding they need to. It's also a way to get Gen Z into the restaurant.
Collecting it. Hey, yeah, come on in and get your matchbook.
Get some, you know, two drink minimum, get some free matches. They said two separate guests are coming to one club in New York City, a hot little club there, specifically because they heard the matchbox, the matches they had there were cool, and they are in a matchbook collection club. Matches.
Oh, we need to look into that now. Just Florida Man Radio ones.
Oh, that's a great idea. Yeah. They're cheap when it comes to promotional stuff. They mount them in shadow boxes. They, you know, put them in a bowl in the front. I always kept them because unless I needed a light. Yeah. My lighter went dead and I needed it, you know.
They're good to have around.
That's it for us today. Is there music playing? I can't tell. That's it. Come out to Leesburg Bike Fest and enjoy yourselves. Thank you, Randy. Thank you, Elliot. Thank you, EZ.
Thank you.
Thank you, Heather.